This week, Tokyo Game Show 2018 announced new releases, including those for the PlayStation Vita, and Sony announces the discontinuation of shipments of the PlayStation Vita next year. There's plenty more news in store, less contradictory as well, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hi, fam. Welcome back. It's another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, September the 23rd, 2018, episode number 745 of our show. My name's Rob Roberts, joining you live here from our headquarters in Sacramento, California, with my co-hosts, as he's been every week here lately. Say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, and so no food tonight. This is this diet thing you've been on is like a serious thing.
It's not that. I mean...
Well, I see you have like a protein shake. You're doing the same thing my husband does.
No, it's just I ate lunch late. I cooked, I had some chicken I bought last week, so I had to cook it before it went bad. And so I ate that for lunch at like 2:33. So, it's kind of too early to eat again. And I thought, well, I can have like a taco or something like that. But it was a chicken taco. I'm like, I just ate chicken. I don't really want to eat that again. So, I don't know. The last few days I've been trying to come in under 1,000 calories under my already 500 calorie under my limit of what I'm supposed to eat.
Well, just don't overdo it with some of those cutting corners.
Like yesterday I ate a whole pizza, so then I had to work. I had to play DDR for 90 minutes straight
maybe it's like a weekly budget. I see how it goes.
Well, no. That was just a slip, but no. Lately, because I got a Fitbit for my birthday, so I... been doing a lot more walking, so I walk 3 miles a day. Well, during the week, not necessarily on the weekends because I don't have time for that. But 3 miles during the day, and I fast for 16 hours up until about 1 p.m. So I don't eat until 1 p.m. and then I go for a 3 mile walk and then I pick up lunch and I come back and then I come home after all that and then I play DDR for another 30 minutes or so.
So for those that, I don't think we've talked about this in quite a while, but Loki's really like slimmed down. I know it's a radio show, at least for now. I mean, we talked about how we're going to move to Twitch eventually.
Because I bought new pants, that's why. Because these pants actually fit and not the other ones. The other ones were really baggy and like were too big. So these,
You've really slimmed down.
These fit. I really haven't. I mean, thank you, but... the scale says otherwise.
Since you started this whole thing, I don't mean like in the past week or two. I mean like since you started this whole thing.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, we're keeping somebody waiting over there. Unfortunately, we've missed her these past few weeks, but she's back to terrorize us once again. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
I'm overwhelmed by being back.
Oh.
And all of the stuff that Ikuma sent us.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So right before the show, one of our pals from overseas, Akuma JP, shout out, sent a little care package.
A little.
It ended up being a big care package. So a big thank you to Akuma JP and all these little...
You can send them all the pumpkin spice things.
Yeah.
I don't know if pumpkin spice is as big as a thing, but you can get kombucha.
That's what I could send him in return. I could say, here's a little taste of America and just do like all
send
the pumpkin
the
spice
white
garbage.
Girl fantasy.
Exactly. Yes. Ultimate like... Now, Akuma JP, I know it's your fantasy to be a basic bitch, so here you go.
Rob is like that Cinderella meme where it's like, at midnight, your character turns back into a pumpkin. Yes, bitch!
That is me. Here's the thing. It's not that like I'm obsessed with pumpkin spice. I think I'm just the only one in the group of friends that's like willing to admit it. Like, fuck yes, I'm excited pumpkin spice is in season. Hell yes, I'm going to order a pumpkin spice latte. You know why? Because pumpkin spice lattes are fucking good.
I'm going to be making pumpkin bread.
And so I get teased for being that bitch. But I'm
not making it sweet.
I like a lot of different food. Anyway, it's not the food podcast, Dark Sakura.
Yes, it is.
I just
ate filet mignon and it was great.
We going to talk about meat and potatoes?
Well,
the meat and potato show.
Have sweet potato.
All right, anyway. I need to go to our social media because over on Twitter, at twitter.com/OLR, I actually asked the listeners, I gave Twitter a little love, and I said, Jamie's in the studio tonight on a brief reprieve from her work schedule. Which of these recent headlines from the shows she's missed should Rob ask her about right at the top of the show? So you ready for what the listeners picked for the video game topic that you've missed that we need to get into? With 87% of the vote, what are your thoughts on the new Animal Crossing game for Nintendo Switch being announced?
It must happen. I need it. And it has to be as great as New Leaf was. Uh-huh. And I have to be able to have going to all the villages and changing their shit. and planting stuff. I want more black tulips. And I want to be able to murder Tom Nook in his sleep.
How about bug net violence?
I want to be able to kick people out of my village.
Banish people from the village?
I want to banish people from my village.
Do you want witch trials?
No, not that bad. I just want to kick Ed out when he shows up. I create backstories for all of the characters in the game.
It's not the Animal Crossing game that I want. It's Animal Crossing After Dark that I really want.
I do want more villagers to be like night owls.
Yeah. Yeah, I always hated when the villagers would go to bed, like, and at the time that I want to play the game.
I want there to be, like, 24-hour shopping that isn't just, like, the club. Like, right. Club LOL.
Did you watch that whole little thing with the Isabelle reveal and the new Animal Crossing, like, that whole little thing on the Nintendo Direct? Did you watch the actual teaser? Oh, you didn't see
the teaser?
I just
cared that they said Animal Crossing and that apparently Isabelle's in Smash Brothers.
Yes, Isabelle is in Smash Brothers. So the whole thing...
What's she gonna do? Beat people up with, you know, bills and park projects? And
yes. Well, the villagers are in
and throw Tortimer at them?
The villagers are in the game, so why not Isabelle? Made a lot
Isabelle's
of sense.
Great.
But the whole setup was that it started with, like, and people are supposed to be misled to think, oh, it's an Animal Crossing reveal. But in fact, it was, oh, Isabelle's in Smash, and that's how it started. But then it fades to black, and it fades back up, and it's Tom Nook sitting at the computer, which has lent itself to so many wonderful memes, by the way, those images of Tom Nook sitting at the computer. And then he talks to the camera and reveals that Animal Crossing is under development for next year for the Switch, and that's where that
Good.
Came from. So it's kind of like a back-to-back
better
thing.
Not be more fucking Happy Home Designer, even though I love that game, too. It got old, though.
All right, so there you go. Jamie's thoughts on Animal Crossing. In a word, yes.
Where's my NES games? What if we get SNES games? That'd be rad.
Oh, like in the...
free stuff.
Free stuff? Those games, those days are long gone.
I know, but it would be nice.
You have to pay a monthly or yearly fee to be able to play those classic NES games that were free in the original Animal Crossing.
What if they had an arcade like in there, and you like pay like a certain amount of like Nintendo points to go into the arcade and play stuff?
I've always been about like how don't they have a big enough development team at Nintendo that a couple people could just be assigned to making little mini games, and they don't have to make NES style mini games, and those would be what you would unlock, and it would just be like Flappy Bird ripoffs, and you know, like those types of things, but like with the little villagers, and you could like have high score competitions with the villagers or your friends that you invite into the village.
Have like there's the fishing competition and the Tortimer's Island crap.
Okay, all right, that's true. They have some of those silly little things. That's true.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll see. Going to our chat. We do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com. And if you are in our, or if you are listening live, you should be in our chat room. It's over at live.vognetwork.com. All the info how to join our chat room is right there. Starting off, SSJ100 Matt saying, I would watch Jamie stream Animal Crossing. You going to be doing any live streaming of?
Oh, shit, yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
But, you know, something else just occurred to me.
Huh.
Because they let you do that in, like, in the camp game.
Mm-hmm.
Pocket Camp, is you should be able to choose your skin tone for your character. So you, instead of like, I mean, you should still be able to like tan if you go to the beach and everything.
Right.
But you should be able to like choose your skin tone instead of it being like, because I know that the intent is for everyone to be Japanese.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because, but it when it comes out in a diverse place, in a more diverse location, it looks like default white, you know?
Right.
And
right.
I think that they should definitely put in more choices of skin tone that you can pick from the start of the game.
Well, I think Nintendo's been hearing some of that feedback because of what we're seeing in the mobile game and stuff. So I would anticipate that's going to continue into whatever, you know, new Animal Crossing game comes out and all that. So we'll see, though. Let's see. Fifth Dream in chat says, it better have big text so I can play it at work. That's a good call out, is that since it is going to be something that's designed to be portable and docked, we will want to make sure that the text is readable when we're sitting there at playing it in portable mode.
I want my amiibos to work.
I'm sure the... Oh, come on.
I want the villager amiibo for Smash Brothers to work.
Amiibo support is probably like the first thing they thought about in one of those meetings. How can we get more cash from our fans?
Did you see though how many like are still left over at like Target and those places?
Because I think the bubble's bursting a little bit on that. I kind of think the amiibo pool got too dilated. Like they did not need to make... I know you're not going to like this, Jamie, but they did not need to make figures for, like, every character in Animal Crossing. They did not need to make figures for all of Kirby's friends.
I need 5 different KKs.
So, like, that's the problem, is I think it just got too saturated. Like, the Smash Brothers series, that was good, but that should have been, like, that should have been the amiibo. you know, maybe a couple others here and there. Like,
but I have my Mr. Resetti.
I know, but it's just, I just think it's too much. It's too much.
All right. And ACT-DEFT, I agree. There's never enough Kirby Amiibo.
All right. There's always going to be someone that disagrees with me. Let's get to our kickoff topic tonight officially. Even though the losers here, Twitch Prime changes, 13% of the vote. Steam TV, 0% of the vote. Jamie, nobody cares about your opinion on Steam TV, apparently. Or
I don't care about Steam TV either. So, so
apparently Animal Crossing is just too dominating there. People want to know. People associate you with that game. I can't imagine why. All right. Anyway, let's talk about our official kickoff topic tonight. Let's get into actually, unfortunately, this is kind of like shitty news. And it's this is something that is inevitable in the games industry and something we hear far too often about. But I think in this particular stance, actually both, we're going to hear about two tonight. Kind of a surprise, I think. Jamie, why don't you start us off? So we had a studio closure, right? And this was kind of, I don't know, feels like a surprise.
It's kind of a surprise, but I also think it's karma. Telltale is closing. They are starting by laying off most of the employees, leaving 25 there to finish, you know, their obligations. But they said that more information is coming out in coming weeks. They also, though, apparently haven't been paying severance packages to their employees.
Not in this most recent round.
Well,
no.
I'm sure that the management's going to be paying themselves a nice, you know, chunk of change.
Allegedly.
So fuck them.
Allegedly.
No, likely, because that's all, but it's capitalism.
We don't know. We don't know. So I have to say allegedly because we don't know. I just want to say, when you say, because she's unhinged, she's back and she's unhinged, which is fine, but when you say karma,
I have hinges.
I think it's important to state you are targeting the management in that, and yes, certainly none of the hardworking story writers, no, programmers, people doing their jobs.
My
ire
goes
well
to the management because it's their fucking fault.
Yeah.
Their decisions.
All I'll say is it's a small world, and this comes from things that we've heard, and that's all we can say.
So to the management of Telltale Games, I want you to take a wrought iron dildo.
Stop. Just stop.
That can also be used as a metal file for blacksmithing. And I'd like for you to sit on it and spin in the opposite direction.
The anger comes from a place of not only did they kind of do their associates dirty with this whole lack of severance and all this stuff, but we've heard some accounts on Twitter where new employees left their long careers to start on Monday and they were laid off on Friday. Like, what kind of planning is that? It's a real crappy way to treat somebody too, that would have left like a long career to come work at this company who's, you know, making some good stuff. You know, tons of people love The Walking Dead. And again, I want to stress the anger does not come from a place whatsoever to the hardworking frontline programmers, talented artists, story writers,
etc. The management is garbage.
So
they are absolute garbage, because I won't say that they're shit, because shit has uses. You can fertilize the shit. This is landfill.
The views and opinions expressed by Jamie or Jamie's
are true.
I have to say that dildo smithing is one skill tree that I didn't put a lot of points in Skyrim, but I may have to change my mind on that.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, next time. Next playthrough.
Let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. SGO and Hunter Matt points out those employees live in the San Francisco Bay Area, the highest cost of living in the country. Not just the Bay Area, the North Bay Area was where specifically this office was located. They were right near. I used to work. I keep wanting to say Martinez. That's not it. What's on
just
the five?
Marin.
San.
Oh, San.
God damn it. Why can't I think of the name?
San Rafael?
San Rafael. That's it. San Rafael. San Quentin. No, across the earth. San Rafael. That's where they were located, if I remember right.
When I was arrested, I was dressed in black. Sorry, I was thinking of the prison.
2K is near, because 2K Marin is near there, too. But Telltale was right in that area. And I'm telling you, North Bay Area, expensive real estate. Very expensive.
And Loki, Fifth Dream says this is a Skyrim mod waiting to happen.
I'm sure it's a Skyrim mod already happened, but you know, I haven't delved into all of those.
And Bones 006, I said shit has uses. You can fertilize with shit. Garbage.
Dungeon Buster in chat says that's BS planning. Management had to know that things were going south, and yet they let those newcomers come in. There's no way their finance people could not have already known well before the hires were made. And that's an example of why there's anger about this and where that's coming from. Is, you know, you want a concrete example of how was the planning garbage, there's your answer. But for what it's worth, I know the studio did make some pretty amazing games, you know, all things considered. Certainly the Walking Dead series was known and appreciated by a lot of people. They made games based on Jurassic Park. They had the Sam and Max was kind of the big comeback series games. They had those Strong Bad games that were on the Wii.
Back to the Future. The
Back to the Future. They had the Batman, Wolf Among Us. So, I mean, there was all, and I honestly thought, you know, they were in good financial places because the types of games they were putting out were, in my view, like long shelf life type of games. Like, you know, in a lot of games have to sell like all of their business. It's like right up front. Like, that's why pre-orders are so important. That's why launch day stuff is so important, because so many games make their sales, large percent of their sales, the first week. And I was always struck with that Telltale games didn't necessarily have those same goals, because they would, you know, they had a long lifespan. Something like The Walking Dead, people are just now even getting into those games.
I know, and I still have, like, in my back catalog in my PlayStation library, I think on PlayStation 3, I have, like, a ton of those series.
But now, again, if you want to believe everything you see on Twitter and social media, so take it with a grain of salt, but apparently not all their games sold very well. Apparently, the Minecraft story mode was doing very well.
Yeah.
That game was doing well, but the Batman game did, was one of their worst performing games, period. And that's kind of a stunning one in a way. I don't know, though, but in some way, like, the DC movies have not been very strong. We all know that.
That's because they're garbage with garbage writing.
You're on a roll tonight. So the DC movies are not very strong. I also kind of think Batman was saturated. I'm not sure there was a place for Telltale's very specific sort of Batman game in the mass market. You know what there was a place for? Lego Batman. And I think that's, you know, people kind of associate the console gaming with, like, Lego Batman and that stuff. I think the Batman Telltale thing proved to be maybe too niche. I don't know. Apparently, Tales from the Borderlands also did not do well. But, like, I hate to say it, and I don't even remember thinking this when I first saw the game. Like, the game looked really good, but I was like, this is a really niche thing. Like, I'm not going to want to play this if I don't already have some familiarity with Borderlands. But I think the thinking that went into it was the reverse. Maybe we can bring more people into Borderlands through this game, but I'm not sure that's how it really worked. Whether the game was good or not, I'm not saying it was a bad game. Actually, you know, considering I knew very little about Borderlands, I actually enjoyed what Tales of the Borderlands I saw. But I just think that, you know, kind of limited the potential audience, you know, but hindsight's 20/20, right? So anyway, it probably leads to why the games did not end up performing as well as expected, and why we're we're at today. Let's see. Going to chat at live.vognetwork.com. Yeah, Dungeon Buster says, I thought the Batman games were doing really well, so to read that rumor was eyebrow raising, right? But we don't really get game sales in the same way we get box office. I mean, sure, we get NPD rankings, but there's only so much that tells us. You know, there's so many games out there, and plus with digital distribution and all these different platforms, PC isn't accounted for in NPD, so it's just, you know, a little different. Brad from Pod Culture, pushing back on the DC movies thing a little bit, does want to point out Wonder Woman was great. So there is at least maybe a diamond in the rough.
Well, you know, a broken clock is right twice.
All right, anyway.
It used to be good. It's just up until recent when they tried to, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe, the thing, and
then actually brought in somebody from Marvel Cinematic Universe. But anyway, this is not a DC Marvel show. It's a video game show. Unfortunately, I will say, actually, to end this on a positive note, to see how the industry has been reaching out to the affected folks at Telltale is really awesome. Like, there's a tweet out there where Ubisoft San Francisco is like, hey, if you work there, come to BJ's Brewhouse on such and such day. We're meeting and greeting people, our treat, you know, to try to fill positions. And I think there's a lot of people out there who want to help, because many people recognize this sucks, because there's many people in the industry who have been through this far too many times because of bad decisions by people that were a little higher up on the food chain. Unfortunately, this is not the only example of this that's happened this week, right, Loki?
Yes, unfortunately not. So Capcom's Vancouver studio has shut down as well. So this isn't kind of unexpected, I guess, because they did lay off 30% of the studio back in February, But now they have, I guess, the remaining 158 people will lose their jobs due to the shutdown. They're going to keep a skeleton crew remaining until January 2019 to finalize the closure operations and logistics. But if, for those who may not know, Capcom Vancouver was best known for the Dead Rising series. But unfortunately, you know, they said as a result of reviewing titles in development at Capcom Vancouver, Capcom has decided to cancel the development of projects at the studio and will concentrate development of major titles in Japan.
So no more Dead Rising. At least,
I guess not.
Not from this studio.
Yeah, and they were doing Dead Rising, and I guess also they had a Puzzle Fighter was the other thing that they worked on.
And that game kind of, they already announced that that game was going to close not that long ago.
Yeah, that game I don't think did that well.
Well, I think they went the wrong model with it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I thought the Puzzle Fighter was going to get a release in kind of the more appropriate, you know, pay $20 up front and get all the characters type of thing. I thought it was going to get a release on Switch, PlayStation. I guess maybe not now. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know where that stands. It's also kind of nebulous with the Telltale stuff. I think it's kind of a given that
They have
the
like,
Stranger Things, the Netflix stuff is not going to be happening.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I mean, and ironically enough, I want to say... let's see. There's a game actually coming out in just a couple weeks, you know, that's from Telltale, Batman: The Enemy Within, on the Switch. Oops.
Maybe.
It's a sequel to the other Batman series, which is weird though, because if like it did so terribly, you'd think that they wouldn't make a sequel to it.
Or well, you know, but also if it's one of those, you have to weigh the cost of how much to port it versus, you know, what's the likely return on, you know, going to another console like the Switch. And we've seen so many titles kind of end up getting ported over to the Switch that they must think there's, you know, money to be made there. I mean, and in the case of Telltale, not to, you know, take the spotlight off Capcom Vancouver because that's important too, but Telltale does still have a skeleton crew. We just don't know how much longer. So, assumably, this crew that's left is dealing with these commitments that are already there, such as the Batman thing, and whatever else is left. But for the most part, the studio's done.
Yeah.
And so for Capcom Vancouver, it's done, right? They'll shift all that to Japan and what have you.
Yep.
Well, that is unfortunate. Fifth Dream in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, man, I was looking forward to Puzzle Fighter. The mobile one literally had a bug in the tutorial that prevented me from ever playing. Then again, maybe that's a sign of why it went poof. When bugs are reported, you definitely need to act on those bugs. It's very fascinating.
I just
thing
feel
in the
like it seems like nowadays testing is so sloppy, like with just this stuff, or that they just push. Not necessarily maybe that the testing's sloppy, yes. But they're just like, eh, it's fine. Let's just put it out.
I think it's definitely more the latter that happens. I think the testing isn't sloppy at all. I think the testing picks up a lot of stuff. I think sometimes it's a question of what are we willing to push the game back to do, to fix, and so forth. And so that has had a very interesting effect here in the year 2018, because I think a lot of games have bugs that well and know get that they're identified in testing, but the game comes out anyway. I would bet, you know, Bethesda's infamous for all the bug stuff. I would bet so much of that stuff gets called out and they say, we're going to do it anyway, because, you know, again, it's cost to fix and the timetable and are we going to be able to meet the shipping day and all that stuff, because so many games have to be out in November.
That's why they don't bug fix, you know, Skyrim anymore. Oh, but they'll fucking make, you know, more DLC that they can charge for. I mean, mods they can charge for.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, we've seen this happen with movies over the past few years, that you get much more big movies now, not just in summer and the winter holiday season. You're seeing big movies basically year-round. You're seeing big, big movies almost all times throughout the year, except maybe early January is the one time you don't really see big, big movies anymore. But that's spreading more year-round, and I kind of hope we're getting to a similar place with games. It sure feels like it, especially amongst the years we've done OLR here, is that I remember it was like all the games were in October, November, and now I feel like we've got a little more that is like February, March, fiscal year type of things, April and so forth. We're getting stuff even in the summer and so forth. We're getting like a big release at least every month. It's feeling a little bit more year round, and maybe that's going to help alleviate some of the pressures from investors to deliver a product at a certain time at the sake of keep the bugs in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Anyway, let's see, going to chat at live.vognetwork.com, Dungeon Buster says, does the bug prevent people from playing the game? Nope, it's just weird when it happens. We can afford weird. Ship it. Let's see. Tiger Claw says, there are some big movies that are usually reserved for the fall season because they want that Oscar buzz. That's true, but even last year proved you don't have to release in the fall to be remembered for the Oscars. Get Out, I believe, had been released in like February or March. It was earlier
Get
in
Out
the year.
Was so good.
And people remembered how good it was when award season came around. So it doesn't always happen, but, you know, there's ways to remind voters, too. You know what I mean? That's why you have those four-year consideration campaigns. Around the Oscar season, go to a website like Deadline.com or Variety.com. These are like industry news wires, and they're targeted at people in the industry. And look at the type of ads that show up there. It's all this four-year consideration stuff, like all around award season.
Also, don't ever, 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 ever look at TMZ.
Well, TMZ is where you go when you want like gutter trash rumors. Well, yeah. What's Lindsay
but
Lohan
I'm,
doing
I'm
these
saying,
days?
I'm saying now that they're actually they're on my shit list for how they make money off of people's grief.
That's not a new thing.
Yeah, but they're absolutely on my shit list now. So,
well, I'm not trying to sound like a jerk, but they should have been on your shit list years ago for
that
reason.
But I'm calling out anyone who posts anything from them right now.
Well, here's the interesting thing about. I don't want to go too far down that, but here's the interesting thing about that. Their techniques are shitty. They do find things out first, unfortunately, through that method. And there is this inherent human need to want to be first at something. Or first, I knew about that. Firsties, first.
Those people need a life.
I'll tie this back to gaming. That's why that thing they did in Pokemon Go this weekend was so brilliant. It was really brilliant. And if you don't know what I'm talking about how right when Community Day finished, there was this new Pokemon no one had ever seen before, unless maybe you were...
The little nut ghost thing
that showed up in the game. And because nobody had seen it, it wasn't teased, every forum, every website, every chat I'm on that's even tangentially about Pokemon Go, you've got people that are posting, look what I found, look what I got. The gag is... That thing was everywhere. Like, who didn't see that thing if they had their game open? But people want to be first. And so Pokemon Go got all this free shout out on social media everywhere because of little nut monster Mon, which is probably the bonus Pokemon that's going to be in Pokemon Let's Go, because they tease that even though it's the 151 from Kanto, there will be an additional Mon that shows up. It's going to be that little
dude. When you catch it, it turns into a Ditto.
So it could be a Ditto evolution. Or that was their little clever way of not letting you really catch it until Gen 8 is announced or whatever dippy little thing they're going to do.
I think they're just trolling people. I think it's awesome.
It is. It is in a way. Let's see. SSG 100 Matt in chat says that was such a good troll. He says it was everywhere tenfold for the first 30 minutes. It's still around now, but the first 30 minutes after Community Day was over, yeah, it was everywhere. Well, let's talk a little bit about Community Day or whatever you were doing with your gaming week and a little adventure we do called How Was Your Gaming Week? So, Dark Sakura, you can really do the whole month if you want, but what kind of games have you been playing lately?
Well, it starts with a purchase, and I might have brought this up in one of my Radio Magic things, but on September 1st was mine and Dan's anniversary.
You did talk about the pinball table, if this is where we're going.
Well, I'm bringing it up again because it's fucking gorgeous.
Okay.
I have a Theater of Magic... finally, and it's in perfect condition. Dan was like, I don't know what to do with the table I don't have to work on. We just play the shit out of it, and it's great. It's beautiful. So we have Theater of Magic. We've also gotten The Shadow and Last Action Hero, which actually more has sentimental value for us. And I don't know, some other one that I don't remember what we got, but whatever. I've been playing... a lot of Pokemon Go. I played some Ingress, just not a whole lot. I'm back to playing Bejeweled for some reason, which is actually kind of crazily addictive, and I'm still playing Idle Pouring. But that's really about it. I've been very busy. Work is weird, and then all my volunteer stuff is taking up my time. I did play something else. Oh, yeah. We have the Nintendo out, so I did actually play The Guardian Legend without it slowing me down.
I love The Guardian Legend. That's just, let's just take
gave
a moment.
Me perfection. No, Rob needs a moment of silence.
I
for
do.
For reasons. Other than that, like, I've just been looking at, like, stuff and going, oh, that'd be cute. Oh, that'd be cute. Like gaming accessories.
Mm-hmm.
Like, girly shit. Like, my Triforce necklace that I wore last night. And everyone's like, oh, you're wearing a Triforce. I'm like, yeah, it's a Triforce necklace. It's cool. You know, just little stuff. And, oh, and Dan and I watched a playthrough that was done, like, we weren't actually playing it, but it was funny because we were watching a playthrough of, like, Transformers Devastation. And it was done like a movie with the soundtrack for Transformers the movie in it. As in the real movie, not these live-action pieces of shit. Which, by the way, I'm going to see Transformers the movie on the 27th in the theater. Bam.
I know you're seeing it the week before. I'm seeing Gaga in A Star is Born because that came up on Facebook this week.
I'm going to see the better movie.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Yours won't
we've
win an
had,
Oscar.
We've had people who were in that movie on this show.
No, I know, I know. I'm not hating on the Transformers thing. It's,
I've also still decided that if anyone was going to narrate my life, it wouldn't be Morgan Freeman or Samuel.
Wanda Sykes for me.
It'd be Greg Berger as Grimlock.
I'm sure he's very happy to hear that.
Well, he seemed to be.
All right, so no other games to share for now. All right, let's move over to... I'm sorry she didn't talk about World of Warcraft, because I was going to talk about
World of... Yeah, I did play World of Warcraft. Shit.
This bitch right here.
Yeah, no, because I've been kind of playing erratically.
Because she keeps yelling at me that I'm not playing my Alliance character.
I need to finish the Argus content. Well, I need to add you into the guild if you hop on Alliance. And then do the Argus stuff with me so I can actually go through some of those dungeons I haven't done yet. You need to bring back Sassy Pants.
She's still there. I didn't kill her. She's still there.
You can remake her as a Dark Iron.
All right. Speaking of Pokemon Go, so this is like some late breaking news. So a friend of mine said he needs 3 new friends to finish his Mew quest. And so I'm like, and the thing is, all these people are replying to his post going, people are still playing Pokemon Go. Whatever. This so last summer, you know, type that sort of thing. So I said, you know what? Buddy, his name's Curtis. I said, Curtis, I'm going to try to actually help you here. Do you want me to give out your code on the radio show and see what kind of strangers add you? And he said, yes. So I would love it if you would all add my pal Curtis as your friend in Pokemon Go. His code is, so get out your phones, everybody, 2814-6308-2341. He said I could do it. So
I can't add him yet because I also need to add friends for that quest too at some point.
Well, then you both would get it.
But yeah, but I have to wait until I actually
have to
do
at that point.
So, you know.
Okay, this is completely real. As Joan and Matt, this is completely real. Add him as your friend. This is my pal Curtis.
I'll be there before too long, so my code will go out.
We played the same. Remember when I talked about that I did the reality game on Facebook? He was in it too, and he did a YouTube. He's on a YouTube show that's a reality show called Sequester. So if you watch that type of garbage, you might have seen it before.
You know, this whole adding 3 friends thing makes me feel a lot like the whole Ingress thing where they want you to recruit people. And it's like,
yeah, the badge,
I can't recruit people because no one wants to play this.
Ingress, that badge doesn't do shit. It's like a vanity thing. Whereas in Pokemon, like if you want to have Mew, and that's Curtis's problem is he really wants to have Mew, you have to actually add people on Pokemon Go. So you have to
but
add
I
people
I already
to get Mew.
Added people. Why do I have to add more people?
I am actually in a Sacramento area Pokemon Go player group that all you have to do is post in there and people will add you if you want.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got I see ActDef says I'll add them. And so there's some people saying they're going to add. So I appreciate that. Do that. Add him because that would be really funny. All right. Loki.
I played Pokemon Go a little bit and I don't know. What else? I loaded up an emulator on my computer to play Ridge Racer R4 because I saw the announcement that came out. I was like, oh, yeah, I like that game. Let me try playing that again. And I did not age well. I don't know. It's all right. I like Ridge Racer R4. I mean, it's one of the best Ridge Racer games, but it does not look good on that emulator. It just... I don't know what magic they're going to be able to do on the TV to make it look fantastic like I remember it, but that was not it. But it's still fun. And then what else did I play? I tried a little bit. I was going to download the Forza Horizon 4 demo, but I'm like, do I really need to download a demo? I'll just buy the game when it comes out.
When you know you're already going to buy the game.
Yeah, it's like, I'll just buy the game when it comes out.
For what it's worth, it gives you a little bit of a jump start on the game. And a little pun. There's like a clothing item you unlock. I mean, shit, but you get a little shirt for doing the first part of the demo.
A shirt for a driver that's in a car that I never see.
Well, actually, no. You see the driver because they changed like the little like recaps. So you see the little driver standing next to the car going, fuck yeah, I won, you know. You do see the drivers in like the recap screens.
Oh.
Yeah. It's very much a vanity thing, though. It's very, very much a vanity thing.
You can't run over the sheep. The sheep will always avoid the car. That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, that was posted in our Discord. There was a little video where the sheep are programmed so that they consistently run away from the car. So
get enough cars lined up. Anything's possible.
Loki wants to kill the sheep.
It's just because they tell me I can't kill the sheep. I mean, come on, we're the classic days of, you know, cruising USA and stuff.
Carmageddon,
like that, where you can like smash into the deer and it just gibs everywhere. I mean,
gross. All right, anything else for your gaming week?
No, I think that was it.
Okay, my gaming week. Let me start with some of the stuff that's been discussed already. So World of Warcraft, I am continuing my adventures in World of Warcraft. So unlike Jamie, I've been playing Horde simply because my druid is on Horde and I really wanted to play my druid. And yeah, although I was really kind of bored because my guild had like nobody playing in it. So I moved to a different guild. I'm in a guild with Dr. Ken from Starboard Power Coupling. And so there's a few more chatty people there. So it's nice. It's nice to like not be playing an MMO by myself. I think that helps World of Warcraft be a little better. And yeah, I'm kind of into it. Like, I'm into this expansion. I don't know how long I will be, because I tend to, like, go through the leveling up thing, and then once I hit max level, I'm like, fuck rating. And I kind of fizzle out. But we'll see. We'll see how long this keeps my interest. I like that they have, you know, it seems like there's more of a variety of things to do as you level up. I like that they have, like, this whole island expedition thing. It's kind of neat. I just did one of those today. And so it was, like, kind of like a PvP, but it wasn't actually other players. It was computer controlled AI, and it was like you have to mine as much Azerite as you can on the island faster than the other team. And I thought it was kind of a neat little like mini game. So yeah, that was cool. I played that, and yeah, it's kind of what I've been doing in World of Warcraft. I also started Diablo 3 again because season 15 just started on Friday, so gotta start another new character and get all the cosmetic rewards from getting to level 70 and all that stuff. So I started doing that, playing Diablo 3. Pokemon Go Community Day was this past weekend. Had a lot of fun just walking around the capital. I feel like with Chikorita, man, the spawns were crazy. Like, I'm just talking like the number of Chikorita that were around, like were more than any other community day. Just
yeah,
like the
and
density.
The shinies too, because I got like three or four shinies, and I was able to evolve like two whole Chikorita sets. And
everybody in my group got five or six shinies, and we never do this. We took time out of community day to raid, so we went and re-raided over at the theater at the convention center. Had a Mewtwo that popped. You have to see my picture on Twitter. There were like 300 people swarming around this building where there was a Mewtwo, and just, you know, obviously you would go in and the lobby would be full. Although we ended up doing a private group so that we could just all increase our friendship levels and all that. And we took out Mewtwo there, and then we went to the church. You know, at the Capitol Park here in Sac, you know, there's that church that's right across the street that's a gym as well. Mm-hmm. So a Mewtwo popped there too, and so you had all these people lining the street on one side, and all these people lining the street on the other, doing the same thing, trying to get the Mewtwo that was there. So it was just, it was crazy, but it was cool. But yeah, it was interesting. By 1:30, which you know, Pacific time, community day goes 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So by 1:30, we were like, it's getting hot. It's supposed to be like 94 today. Are we kind of done? And everybody was like, yeah, we're done. We've got like five, six shinies. We're good. So we called it a day like 30 minutes early, which we never do.
Yeah.
Because like with Eevee Community Day, I didn't even get most of my shinies till the last hour.
Well, Eevee was different though, because you can evolve, you know, each one of those shinies into each of the set, you know, of Eevees. So you could have like a ton of different shiny Eevees basically. But I don't know. Chikorita is like, I don't really want this.
Yeah. Well, no, Chikorita's cool. It's actually, ironically, it's pumpkin spice Chikorita is what it looks like to me. So, an appropriate fall flavor.
I got
flavor.
A shiny Charmander the other day.
Oh, just randomly?
Just randomly.
Yeah, it's nice that once you have, like, the community day, then the shinies are kind of, like, in the game for good. They're just, like, a less of a spawn, but you'll find them. Like, they didn't get a community day, but those Swablus, like, I just randomly have picked up two of them just catching, like, regular Pokemon. It's kind of cool. Other games that I've played doesn't stop there. So I've also been playing Forza Horizon 4. I downloaded the demo for that. So I did download the demo because I wanted to get in there. And so it starts with it's very much like shoving down your throat. Did you know that this game has seasons? And so it's like, race through the autumn season. Now race through the winter season. Now it's a summer. So you go.
Does it change as you go throughout the year, or is it just?
Not in this demo. In the demo.
I know the demo doesn't. But
the demo just kind of like, because it was four different type of races. Like, it started with, like, a very generic type of race in the autumn, and then the winter was, like, you were in this big dune buggy going through the snow, and you did, like, this big ramp. And then summer, I remember you're racing motorcycles, and the motorcycles all had colored smoke, and it was a really cool effect. Like, one thing I just love about Forza is that it's extra as fuck. Like, it's so extra. Like, you'll be driving down, like, confetti cannons going off everywhere. And, like, the sheep, chasing the sheep, I consider is, like, an extra thing, too. And it's just, like, extra, extra, extra. And since, you know what? Since this week, Mario Kart got ruined for a lot of us. I'll just leave it at that. Mario Kart and one particular character in Mario Kart got ruined for a lot of people. So people are going to be wanting a break, maybe. I think Forza, you know, it's a very different type of game, but I just love how over the top it is. It's why I prefer the Horizon series way much more than the mainline Forza Motorsport games. It's just, it's arcadey, and it's so extra, like flying. So you do the season thing, and I honestly thought that was going to be it. I was like, oh, is that? I downloaded 25 gigs for that. That's going to be it. But then, no, the game starts up. It's like, so what do you want your name to be? And what's awesome, one of the nicknames, because you know how, like, they've recorded, like, 500 names. So you can, like, have the announcer call you by name, right? But one of the nicknames you can be? Roberts. So they call me Roberts. So, which is kind of funny. So, I play the game as that, and it lets you start the game. So, you do this race, you do another race, and then you do, like, a stunt. They're like, we want you to be a stunt double in this new movie, and you do a stunt race where you go, like, flying through a windmill, and you fly off the cliff into a field. And it looks like I was playing on my PC, and my PC can only run on, like, medium settings because, you know, even though my computer is, like, 2 years old at this point, it was top of the line when I got it. Well, it's only 2 years old now. You know, it's like, might as well bought it a decade ago. But it looked beautiful, even in the medium mode. So, yeah, I was enjoying Forza. So,
cool.
I think that's probably it, finally, for my gaming week. I think that's most of the stuff I've been playing
Bobby
this week.
Bobby says the seasons change every week.
Oh, like real week? Or yeah. Because I know it keeps telling me, it says progress towards autumn. And then autumn unlocked. But I haven't unlocked it yet because I had to stop the demo because I was just doing it today. So I had to stop the demo to prep for OLR. I did the stunt race thing, and that's where I stopped the demo. But I saw a hella, like, other people on my Xbox friends list. Like, every race I did was completely full with gamer tags from my Xbox. Like, I raced against Black Wolf and SSJ and Hunter Matt. I mean, I know it's not really them because I whooped them all, and that would not have happened if they had been the real drivers. But it's still kind of fun to see, you know, stuff based off your friends or whatever. So that's pretty cool. Bobby Blackwolf says, yes, every real week the season changes. Interesting. Bobby also points out that's just the Drivatar system. Yeah. Well, the nice thing is you'll all see my license plate. So my license plate was... Hi, that's my license plate. H-I-E-E-E. Hi. So enjoy that. All right. SG100 Matt says, I need this game to come out already. I also wish I had an Xbox One X and a 4K TV to fully enjoy it. What, early access on September 28th? I don't believe in the early access. Like, they want you to buy the Ultra Edition, you know, the, like, $100 Forza comes with early. You don't need the game that quick. Like, give it an, you know, I think it comes out, like, a week later for everybody else. So...
Oh, yeah.
It's maybe you do need days. The game that quick. I don't know. It's your money. Spend it how you want. So.
It's only on the 2nd, I think.
Yeah, you don't have to wait that long for it. It's coming out soon. All right, so that was my gaming week. Let's move on. Announcements. I don't really have a ton of things to say. Since we had the unexpected week off earlier in the month, we don't really have anything planned until probably... I don't even know if we'll be off the week Thanksgiving. Probably not until the holidays we'll be looking at any shows off. At least planned ones. Knock on wood. Hopefully nothing unexpected happens. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/OrangeLoungeRadio. Let's get into some longer news tonight and some other things that are happening in the gaming world. Loki, we'll start with you.
Yes, it's the PlayStation Classic. You might think, hey, wait a second. Isn't Nintendo the one that releases these consoles that are smaller, that are $100, that have games in them? But no, Sony wants to jump in on that like they did on motion control, and they want a piece of that action. So coming out December 3rd in U.S., Canada, Europe, Japan, and Australia, you're going to get a PlayStation Classic for $99.99, or, you know, the equivalent in your territory. And they will include 20 games as well as two controllers. It won't include an AC adapter, though, but it will be bundled with a USB cable that I guess you can power it by. I think that's dumb, but whatever. Games that they've announced so far, they're going to be in there: Final Fantasy VII, Jumping Flash, Ridge Racer Type 4, Tekken 3, and Wild Arms. It's not a bad lineup so far. I'd be interested to see how we can hack this thing.
Because you know it's going to happen day one. It always does.
I would even be more surprised if it isn't running the same hardware as the SNES Classic and stuff, because I think those you can actually run PlayStation emulators in as well. But yeah. You know, this thing will be running Nintendo games in no time.
Speaking of all that, something I completely forgot and left out of my gaming week was that I did play those NES classics on Tuesday night. I got the whole online thing, and I purchased that.
Yeah. And I looked at that, and I'm like, eh.
No, I play. Bobby was streaming, so I'm still having the cable issues at home, so I can't stream to Twitch. I mean, I can do the radio show because it's low bandwidth, but I can't do Twitch. But I was like, well, if I can't do my own stream, I'll crash someone else's. So I went on to Bobby.
Did they fix your cable when they came out here?
Okay, so long story short, the guy that was here, like, he definitely tried. And he was definitely like, okay, I do see a problem. And he showed me. And he listened to what I was saying. And he like, okay, yeah, I get it. I see what your problem is. Cool. And he actually went up the pole and looked. And he's like, look at what I'm seeing. And he showed me. He's like, see all this noise here? This is a problem. I want to see which outlet is coming from. And he looked at the outlets. He said, okay, your living room outlet is a problem. And so he did all the thing. And then he said, okay, so see, now all the noise is gone. So give it 24 hours and see where it's going to be at from here. So I was like, okay. At least this guy listened to me. He showed me something tangible he was working on. I'm like totally like happy, but the problem is he didn't fix it. I mean, he tried. You tried, but unfortunately, he didn't fix the issue. So in all fairness, Comcast was supposed to follow up with me. They haven't. So I'll have to run that up the flagpole again. I've just been kind of on other things this week where I'm just kind of getting used to this life where it's like, I guess I'm not going to be able to stream to Twitch, although that's going to be a problem when this show wants to move to Twitch. But we'll just have to cross that bridge when we get to it. We may have to move the place we do this show. We'll see.
Well, I hear that Verizon's got with their 5G or whatever that they're offering now with their service for $50 a month, gigabit down. And apparently it's in Sacramento. Sure, not where I live,
yeah.
Slightly outside of Sacramento, but in Sacramento proper, they get all the fucking
yeah,
so nice
does that,
shit.
Does that count Sacramento County? Because I'm not in Sacramento proper, I'm in Sacramento County.
Yeah, no, unfortunately. Yeah,
exactly. So anyway.
But you're closer than I am. So
anyway, no resolution to that yet. So I was crashing Bobby's stream, and we were playing. Now, we tried to play the online multiplayer. It did lag a little bit. Like, I could feel a little sluggishness, like playing muddy waters type of thing, like when I was playing Super Mario Brothers. Like, this doesn't snap the way it should when I play it usually. Like, it wasn't horrific, but it was definitely noticeable. But what we did, and we don't know what that could that be my cable problems at home? Could that be the fact he's streaming and doing the NES? Who knows? So we put it into low latency mode, and it was fine. So if you have problems playing online with your friends, go look for that low latency mode and turn it on, because I don't know why low latency isn't on by default, but for whatever reason, it's not.
Why is there even a mode to turn that on if that makes it run good? I don't understand.
I'm not sure. Maybe somebody in chat knows, maybe Bobby or somebody. What are you sacrificing to get low latency? Because yeah, that's where my mind is. Like, why would that not be the norm?
That I can't stream the whole game? I mean, literally, the game downloads faster than a web page. I don't understand what you would be sacrificing in low latency.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either. But anyway.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, COAST.
It worked fine in low latency mode, and we had a good time. It's just that there's not a lot of, like, riveting two-player games. We played Dr. Mario. We tried to play Double Dragon and then realized, oh, yeah, NES Double Dragon, they had that shitty little versus mode for two-player, but the game itself was not two-player simultaneous like it was in the arcade. I think Double Dragon 2 had that, but not the first Double Dragon. So,
Didn't.
I know, right? That was it didn't? No, it didn't. And so, we I don't know. We were going to play River City Ransom, but then by that time, dinner was done, so we never got around to playing that stuff. So maybe a stream later in the week. I don't know. But anyway, the reason why I brought all that up, it does tie into the Sony thing. I'm not trying to take the spotlight off this. But you were talking about when does that thing get hacked. Well, the Nintendo thing got hacked within 24 hours. They were running Kirby on that thing by loading the ROM. So, and that's was kind of a shocking. Well, I don't want to say you probably weren't shocked, Loki, but in some ways, I think
I was so surprised.
Some of us were really having to deal with the reality of Nintendo was not doing anything to tweak these games to run online. They were not in there doing with the code or anything. Nintendo is artificially holding back releasing games on this thing because there is nothing to prevent Nintendo first party titles anyway from being on Netflix today. Like Super Mario Brothers 2, no reason that should be missing right now. Kirby, no reason that should be missing right now. Things that are first-party Nintendo... Now, I completely understand. You may have licensing things with Konami, although they have Gradius today. You may still have things with Capcom. You know, I understand not everything could be there, especially third-party stuff. But as far as Nintendo first-party stuff, it is artificially being held back. And so I think a lot of us are kind of having to swallow that pill this week that, you know, all right, this is how Nintendo's going to do it. I mean, is it still the better alternative to charging $5 a game? Probably. But it is a little bit frustrating that this could have been a big thing. This thing could have landed with a thud, and now it's kind of landing with a, okay, neat.
Yeah, they could have said, like, hey, neat. Virtual Console 2.0, now they have multiplayer. Here's a ton of games we're going to sell to you for like $5 each or whatever. And people are like, oh, yeah! And they could have made so much money and kept multiplayer free, so they would have, you know, the advantage of showing, oh, hey, we don't, because, you know, they could probably make up that $20 in Virtual Console sales easy, you know, because some people are going to purchase more, some less, and they could have, hey, look, we don't charge for our multiplayer, but no, they didn't do that. Instead,
Nintendo fans, I can't stop them. Hackers proved that this holdback is artificial this week, so Take what it is. Let's see. Act in chat says, I can play Kirby's Adventure, and I have it on the Wii and 3DS on the 3D Classic, so I can wait. Dark Tetsuya says, my only explanation is perhaps they didn't want people to be overwhelmed with 100 games at launch. Why not, though? Imagine what a bombshell that would have been if it's like, dude, well, we just opened the fucking floodgates.
I can think of one reason. Their eShop is fucking terrible. Is why. And discoverability on that would be fucking terrible.
It's all in one package on the
eShop. Yeah.
You're not downloading game by game by game. It's one NES, you know. And then once you get in there, you have all the different box arts and things. But I believe, I didn't play a lot with this, I believe you can rearrange them and pin your favorites to the top. You can kind of play with it. It's no worse than actually using Netflix. And I'm sure when the library does get bigger, you'll probably see similar stuff.
Is it
stuff
to not
like
devalue the NES Classic, maybe? I mean,
maybe.
Because, like, maybe. Isn't there a lot of overlap in the NES Classic and what this offers? I mean, as far as, like, games?
It's not 100%, but certainly things like Mario Brothers, Mario 3, Zelda, absolutely there's overlap. But there are things like Simon's Quest is on the NES Classic. It is not on the Nintendo Switch thing. The Nintendo Switch thing has River City Ransom, I don't believe, is on the NES Classic.
No, I don't think so.
So, you know, there are games on the Switch. So it's not 100% overlap. But the first party stuff is mostly overlap, I think. I don't think Ice Hockey is on the NES Classic. I only am partial to that because I actually
own that
cartridge.
Some of those Black Box games, man, I could just do without.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
Sports ones.
I know.
Forget that.
All right.
So Blades of Steel now.
Going back to the topic at hand, Sony, I'm sorry to deviate the conversation, but I thought that hacking point kind of opened the door to this other thing that was really important. So talking about the Sony thing for a minute, where's your head at with this, Loki? Because for me, I'm kind of burned out on these classic things and this Sony thing. I'm sorry. this Sony thing does not sound like it's worth the premium price they're charging for it.
I have to see what other games are in there. I like the idea of it. I like the better idea of hacking it apart because, you know, the storage on that sucker is going to be pretty big if it's got, you know, 20 CD-ROM games in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when you're talking Final Fantasy VII is three CD-ROMs. So,
right.
And I think Wild Arms is multiple as well. So it'd be interesting to see how that works. But
see, especially like Final Fantasy VII, there's a great title that I'm burned out on it now.
Yeah, you know, I don't really care about VII so much being on there, but it would be neat. I like... It would be better, though, if it was just on the goddamn PlayStation 4.
Thank you.
Is what it is. And they sell them on the PlayStation 4 as, like, these remasters. But
so, by the way, guys, this thing with the classes, this answers the question, when will PlayStation 1 games be playable on PlayStation 4? Here's your answer. Never. This proves it. Never. This is not in Sony's plan to ever make those PlayStation 1 games that you just pop in your disc and play them on the PlayStation 4. Nope. Because Nintendo has now shown them, hey, you could charge them for it all over again and get away with it. And now they're going to do it. But for me, honestly, again, they're charging a premium price for this compared to Nintendo. I realize it's a more advanced console, but it's over 20 years old. None of it is that advanced anymore. They're charging $100 for it, and they are shorting you with the power cord, which I understand, like, 3DSs don't come with chargers. But this is a different conversation with these classics because it's USB power, so they hope you're going to plug it into your TV that's USB powered or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, or you have a charger or buy a Sony charger. So for whatever reason, they're skimming on that. My biggest thing that surprises me is the lack of DualShock. That when Sony got the DualShock was when the PlayStation really started to take off. Because I don't know if you guys remember, the PlayStation at first did not take off the way that it did a couple. Like, remember when the PlayStation games were in those big old boxes? That's when they first came out. The PlayStation games were in those big old boxes. It wasn't until like a year or two later when DualShock came out, they kind of soft relaunched the system with some of the games that they had then. And then they scaled it down to the CD size stuff. And, you know, it started selling a lot better. So it's really weird to me that this mini system represents that earlier era of PlayStation, even though it's in the mini form and not the later era of PlayStation. It's just kind of weird to me. So...
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm curious, I don't know.
Kaijudo says, no, I don't want that shit on my PlayStation 4. Well, okay, but some of us do. I still enjoy playing retro classics.
They have, like, PlayStation...
I have a copy of Tekken 3, like, right...
I have some of the old, like, PlayStation 2 games that they've remastered or whatever. Yeah. Like, they have... like the Warriors, for example,
but at
or
least they remastered those.
Black.
At least they remastered those.
Well, ported.
I still have my Blamecast.
It would be nice to be able to just pop in the PS1 disc, like I did on the PlayStation 3. That kind of set that expectation. If you're wondering, like, why am I holding Sony accountable to this? Because you could do it on the PlayStation 3. And so it feels like it's a little bit of a step backwards. And let's not forget, Microsoft is sitting over here trying to work to make original Xbox games playable on Xbox One.
Well, and here's the other funnier thing, too, when you think about this, too. Like, and I saw the comparisons almost immediately when the PlayStation Classic came out. They're like, PlayStation Classic could play all these PlayStation 1 games, or you could get a PlayStation TV for like $30, have DualShock support, and it could also play PlayStation 1 games and Vita games, and whatever else that you want to throw on there. I mean, that's the other rub, too. It's like, well, you could have supported that system, and it could have done all this shit as well, and it didn't cost as much.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat is asking, so, in 20 years, what will be on the PlayStation 4 Classic? Horizon Zero Dawn, Last Guardian, probably like a lot of the first-party Sony
Spider-Man.
Stuff. Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, the Spider-Man game.
Infamous.
The Last of Us Remaster, Definitive Edition, whatever it is. Last of Us 2 inevitably will be something that would probably be on there too.
Or the PlayStation 3 Classic, which will not have Rumble either because it's going to just be 6-axis. It's not going to be before they had the DualShock 3. You know, back when they're like, you don't need Rumble. We didn't pay the license that again, but you don't need it.
All right, well, speaking of classics, I know this is one that folks here at Orange Lounge Radio can get behind. Did you know... Dance Dance Revolution's 20th anniversary is this week. In fact, in 2 days, Konami is scheduled to make some sort of announcement to celebrate DDR's 20th anniversary. Could that be a new home version? Or is it more likely a new release in arcades?
I think it may be a new release in arcades.
Yeah.
Maybe, hopefully not a mobile game, but like, you know.
Oh, God. Bleh. Not a mobile game.
Pacheco.
No.
I hope it's a new game. It's been a couple years since Ace, so.
Yeah, it's been a couple years since Ace. Although I thought Ace was supposed to be the game that's like forever expandable. But maybe, you know, maybe they'll.
Yeah, well, so are like all the other like I know. Beatmania games.
So what DDRB will be the big 20th anniversary
game. No, they'll go with some stupid naming convention like they have with 2DX. Like, it's just.
Call it whatever they want.
Whatever
yeah.
the fuck they want to call it.
20. Pumpkin DDR spice, 20. You know? Yeah, pumpkin spice. It's pumpkin spice mix. I like that. You know, I'd be down for that. Dark Tetsuya thinks, I'm thinking DDRXX. No, too many people, especially, they are going to be thinking about America at least a little bit, and they know that DDRXX is too close to DDRXXX, which is going to have a very different type of connotation.
No, I would hope something that, I don't know. I just hope it's not lame.
Maybe DDR double X or something. I don't know.
But I thought about it. Well, and X is too confusing, too, because X is its own series. So
true.
And so they can't really. And they already have an X2.
That's
so
true.
So they can't really do that. I mean, let's just go Max 3. Let's just extreme. Well, they already extreme.
DDR 20th mix. Just call it that.
20th anniversary, yeah.
Well, awesome. I mean. Isn't it weird to think, though, DDR is 20 years old, and we were kind of there at the beginning-ish. I mean. What, this show, OLR, started 4 years into that, right? Because we started 2002, and I think most of us were playing DDR first in 2001, if not sooner. Like, Jamie was probably there in 99. I remember seeing it in 2000.
Well, I had my my birthday. I got my second mix for Dreamcast.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, I think I was playing, I want to say around 2000, because we had found... Where do we find that machine? It wasn't at Golfland. It was...
We all met in 2000. You were playing before then because we all met in 2000 because that was...
Anime Expo.
Yeah, that was the year I lived at Melrose Place. January, was 2000.
January 2000.
Yeah.
At Anime Expo at Disneyland. And they had a third mix there. And they told me how to do Vivid. And I was singing along with Xanadu, you know, and like, I thought you never played before, people would say, and be like... But I've seen Xanadu 57 million times. It's Olivia Newton-John.
Olivia Newton-John,
oh,
people.
Is that why it's called the Olivia Project? No shit. As the same Anime Expo where the chair was a character of that Anime Expo.
I wasn't around for this.
The chair.
I've never been to Anime Expo, and I plan to keep it that way.
I have a picture of chair on the DDR machine.
Okay.
This was the one time it was the Disneyland Hotel, and the cosplayers kept getting kicked out of the park.
Oh, I heard about all that fuckery. It's the reason why they didn't do it there again since. All right, anyway, SJ100 Matt talking about DDR20 in our chat saying, so a few months ago, the top DDR players took to Twitter to ask Konami make things better with DDR with a number. I don't remember what it was. Konami actually responded to them and said, we hear you and we have big things in the works. And then we got Dancing State, or what was the Dance Flat? What the fuck's that new one that everybody's losing
Dance
their
Rush.
Shit about? Dance Rush, which I still haven't played.
No, me neither.
Wah. That's what I should have done this weekend, taking an impromptu trip to Round 1 to play that. So I still haven't played it.
Well,
I can't wait for my fat old ass to get on that machine.
Long enough, it'll be down here.
Yeah, it's true. It's true if I wait long enough. All right. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura. I mean, God, we've had all this news, but there was like a pretty big event going on across the ocean, right?
Yeah, there was. And so I thought I would just go with some of the best ranked stuff that came out of Tokyo Game Show. And if any of this comes up later on in the show, I'm not trying to step on any toes. I'm not going to go into any type of detail about this, but I will just make the announcements, if that's cool with everybody. So Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown is on the list, and it looks like it's got VR support. There also is going to be another Catherine game, Catherine Full Body, for PS4 and Vita. Well, you know what's funny? I actually read the Catherine novels. Very interesting. I'll just leave it there. Also coming out is Days Gone for PS4. But there was a motorcycle to advertise it. Mm. Looks like we have Dead or Alive 6, and it looks very pretty with blood splatter for every punch. We also have, I'm waiting for some of these to load. Of course, there's Death Stranding. So hopefully we'll know more about this, maybe. Although,
so you know what we saw? There was a trailer with like a dude in a golden mask, and it was revealed that that guy was Troy Baker. And again, this game is very like...
That's all I need to know.
What is this game?
There is a guy in like diving gear underwater, but his gear is off. His mask is off. So whatever that is. God, why is it taking so long to load? I'm sorry about this, guys. There we go. So, Devil May Cry 5, which, yay. There'll be a little bit more about that coming up, I know for sure. At least coming from the director of Devil May Cry 5. And then, next up... Gosh, I'm so sorry this is taking so long.
Man, Dead or Alive 6 looks awesome.
Dragon Quest Builders 2.
We knew that was coming, but we just haven't really seen the game itself yet, I don't believe. So, or did 1 and 2 never have... I thought they were going to get a combo package on the Switch. Did that never happen?
I don't think so.
Oh, all right. I guess I thought that would have happened a long time ago.
There's another game coming out by Inti Creates. But they did a game called Dragon March for Death. This is the same studio that did Mega Man Zero. The art style looks really nice. There's also Everybody's Golf VR, whatever it's golf. Fortnite was at Tokyo Game Show.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but it looks like people were playing the shit
out
of it.
Is it, though? Because if it was, was it at Sony's booth? Because, you know, that is the best console to play it on, according to Sony.
Well, no, I'm more saying the fact that, like, it feels like everywhere you go here, people are playing Fortnite and people know of Fortnite. So it's interesting that Japan, I don't know if it's that big, but it's still big enough.
There's a Yakuza game called Judge Eyes coming out. It looks interesting. There's also Kingdom Hearts 3, Mega Man 11 for PS4, Xbox One.
We're getting a new Kingdom Hearts game?
Eventually.
Well, they showed off was a trailer with Big Hero 6, so that's kind of
cool. Yeah, no, the new footage was cool.
There's another game called Ninjala that's kind of Splatoon-ish from what it looks like, but definitely different mechanics for PvP. I'm almost through the list. Let's see.
That looks like ARMS.
Persona Q2 Full Cinema Labyrinth. It looks interesting for its style, but definitely has the same dungeon crawling elements in it. There's also Resident Evil 2 Remake, which I'm super excited about because, hello, they should have remade this a long time ago. There's Tetris Effect for PS4 and PSVR. So it looks like it's Tetris with a musical element.
It's amazing.
It's fucking, they showed this at E3. It's the Rez guy. It's Mizuguchi doing Tetris. It looks fucking amazing.
And then there's Warriors Orochi 4, you know, which is just those usual Warriors game. But it's actually, over there, it's actually Orochi Musou 3 in Japan, but we got it as Warriors Orochi 4 here in the U.S. And then that's it. So those are things coming, the biggest hype coming out of Tokyo Game Show.
I'd still like to go to Tokyo Game Show one day. One day.
One day I know, my check will come.
I know. One day I'll have money. All right. Let's move on. Loki, maybe some not so great news coming out of Tokyo Game Show, right?
Yeah. So unfortunately, the lack of Sony being into the Vita has finally caught up with the Vita in Japan, because remember, Japan is doing pretty good over there, but now the Vita's dead. And fortunately, Sony doesn't have anything coming out that's been announced as a successor for the Vita. But yeah, basically, as for a portable gaming machine, there are no plans for anything after the Vita. And right now, that there's no hardware successor that they're working on. So that's unfortunate. Too bad. I'm surprised with the Switch being so powerful and everything that they might reconsider, since, you know, they like copying Nintendo, obviously, with everything that they do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I am and I'm not surprised to hear this about the Vita. Like, I still thought the Vita had a lot of lifespan going for it in Japan. You know, I feel like when we do the Japanese releases, we're still having quite frequently Japanese releases on the Vita. So I thought for that, you know, purpose, there would still be, you know, some sort of official support from Sony.
Because Sony,
I mean, those games don't have to stop
this
coming
is the
out.
Vita. I'm not quite dead. I think I'll go for
a walk. Just because, yes.
But Sony's like, no, you're dead. You know?
Just because Sony stops supporting it doesn't mean that games aren't going to come out for it.
Sure, but they might as well. You know, it's kind of, once the company's kind of officially stopped emotion, I mean, I get it. There's still people making games for the Dreamcast, but a lot of those, you know, you realize these are different things.
Happy.
Those sorts of pet projects are very different from, you know, the weekly releases and all that stuff. So, I mean, as far as the U.S. is concerned, I'm not surprised at all to hear this. The Vita's been effectively dead here for some time.
Yeah.
But it's still just kind of unfortunate. I just feel that system really just didn't get a break. But to be honest, I don't want Sony doing another portable system if they're going to treat it like they did that one. Why should Sony do another portable system if they're just going to turn their back on it so quickly? Mm-hmm. Like they did the last one. Like, I think it's for the best they don't do another system. Anyway. Kaijudo says, we hear this Vita's dead thing every year. Hogwash. No, no. This is different. This is not talk about how it feels dead in the U.S. This is Sony saying, we are pulling the plug in 2019. So this is much different than what usually comes up. Deft says Vita means life. Well, now your Vita is a muerta. I don't know what to say. All right, let's move on and talk about. I kind of referred to this already earlier, so I'm kind of repeating myself a little bit. Sorry, but I just couldn't help but talk about this earlier. That hackers did indeed already breach Nintendo's online system. So what happened is that they were uploading new NES ROMs into the library. Essentially, I don't understand all the inner workings of how this works. Maybe Loki, you know more about this stuff than I do. All I know is I saw the receipts. Somebody posted a video.
They
fired up a game and. It was not the game that was. It was not River City Ransom. It was Kirby. So they were able to like swap out one NES file for another.
Yeah, basically they're stored as plain NES ROMs. So it's just your normal ROM file for an NES cartridge. So like they have Battletoads is one that they had a video of that they took.
Oh, yeah, I saw the Battletoads one, too. So, you know, and as we got into a little bit earlier, so not to repeat ourselves too bad, but basically, you know, this does prove that Nintendo has done all this work on the emulator to be able to do the online games and all that, but they do not need to go through game by game. They could release all of their games right now if they wanted to. They have chosen not to for whatever business strategy.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, obviously, we haven't seen this, like, play in online or something like that, like, with other people. I would assume that that's all emulator-based, though, but... you know, they could use that as the excuse of, well, these games need to be changed for... I don't think so, though. It's just they're not.
Well, also with the Nintendo Online, you know, there's different filters and different modes you can play, and one of the filters you can use is CRT, where you can kind of purposely make your screen look dirty like an old television would have looked, which, you know...
If you have kids, you don't have to do that at all. It's naturally dirty.
If you want the authentic look or whatever, I guess you could go for that. Filters can be fun. But some people saying, taking to social media saying, the CRT TV is causing burn-in on my, or at least something that kind of looks like it. This went up to Reddit and basically said some NES games, there's discoloration now on the Switch screen after this. So they posted all this stuff, but apparently it's a rendering issue and not actually any type of burn-in. It's just a rendering thing. It's displaying the stuff on the menu kind of like it's bleeding through from the rendering of the NES game or something like that. Nintendo did not officially comment on all this stuff, but it doesn't sound like it's as bad as the internet was making it out to be, because that's never happened before.
But also...
Don't use that CRT filter.
Well, that, and also, like, minimal viable product is a phrase I like to use, you know, at work and with a lot of things. And
so for as long as this took to happen, there's still weird shit like this out there.
Like that, you know, they use the same damn emulator that they made for the NES Classic and stuff.
I'm not going to complain that they were giving us online play for free all this extra time since Nintendo Online. Really, the NES Classics is really the only new thing, at least it feels like anyway, that we're getting with the...
But it does feel pathetic, though, that they can't even get that to run correctly. I mean, they shouldn't even have a mode to toggle low latency. It should just be on if that's what it takes to run. Like, I don't even understand what the problem is. And not just a knock...
I do want to stress, though, our situation with him streaming in my...
I understand
or may have been fringe.
But not even necessarily just this. Like, the Capcom Arcade Collection that just came out, that beat-em-up one, is fucked when it comes to online mode in the Switch as well. And they have, like, lag issues, like, out... It's just, like, it's stuttery. It's so bad. But that's just another issue. It's like, come on, you guys. Like, you know that this probably exists. Why not hold it off a little bit longer?
All right, let's move on. We got more stories to get to. Darsakura.
Well, as I might have teased earlier, there was something from the Devil May Cry director, and this is not quite what people think it is. There was an interview with him very recently, Itsuno Hideaki, and he was asked the question if he would like to bring back or remake another series, what would he want to do? And I'm just going to read his whole response here. If I was allowed, I'd love to make Rival Schools 3. I'd love to make Dragon's Dogma 2, Capcom vs. SNK 3, Street Fighter Alpha 4, Power Stone 3, and if I could, even Street Fighter 6 would be amazing. But the big one, the one that would need to get resolution on, is Rival Schools, because in Japan there are 3 years of high school. We've seen the first 2 years for these kids, so the third one would be their last year in high school. Wouldn't that be cool? You'd end it on their graduation ceremony. Yes, please make this happen. I'm going to find his Twitter, and I'm going to post every day, Rival Schools 3, Rival Schools 3, hashtag, 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 hashtag. So we need to get on this, people. We made President Cat happen.
Or we didn't make it happen. Well, it never did come out in the U.S.
Still. We encouraged them.
And if some sites are to be believed, it was like the worst selling Wii game of all time. So I'm not sure we actually made anything happen there, Dark Sakura.
It was just too early.
I know. It was just...
It was ahead of its time.
Yeah, we were just extremely hipster. That's all.
Because now we have, you know, other cat-centered games like Cat Lateral Damage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can't tell me something cat-based won't sell well in this type of internet.
See, if we brought it out over here, it would be Asshole CEO... Cat.
All right, let's move on, Loki.
So YouTube is closing YouTube Gaming because nobody liked to use the app, and that's unfortunate. But it's not entirely bad. So basically what they're doing is they're getting rid of the dedicated app for YouTube Gaming because, once again, a lot of people were just using the main YouTube app to watch YouTube Gaming content. Instead, if you still want to, you know, interested in just the gaming content or want it kind of focused like that, you can go to YouTube/gaming and it will show you the same damn shit. So and they kind of have it kind of set up a little bit like Twitch as well when you look at it that way, with all your, you know, top live games, live streamers, gaming videos from your subscriptions, that type of stuff.
You know, I don't know. Like, I think with YouTube Gaming, like, it was hard. Most people didn't understand, I think, that there was a separate thing. Like, if you want to look up gaming videos, you just go to YouTube.
Exactly. I was like, I'm not going to fucking go to a separate app for gaming. Like, I'll just watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, I think that kind of, like, never, like, truly caught on. I really think the YouTube Gaming thing was really primarily for the app. But when anything you link online and stuff is going to open in the default YouTube app, like if I tweet my YouTube or something, it's not going to open in the YouTube Gaming app. It's going to open in the YouTube app. So I think that never really kind of like came together. So I think like YouTube Gaming was always just kind of like this different shell, this different set of clothes that nobody went for.
A YouTube feature that's not coming together correctly? No, not my YouTube.
Well, I'm pretty sure YouTube has already been blocked in China, but now Twitch can join them in that circle. Twitch has been banned in China. That was some big news that hit around the internet this week. This is because I guess Let's see. China took home two gold medals in the Jakarta Palembang 2018 Asian Games. It's a pan-Asian multi-sport tournament, basically. So there's many different games that are played amongst all these different countries. Think of it like the Olympics, but like esports over in Asia. So China, you know, made its mark. But unfortunately, CCTV did not broadcast the event. So Chinese fans went to Twitch. So a huge spike in downloads for the streaming site. Now this pings it on Twitch's radar, and now Twitch's website is inaccessible in China. You can't get it on the iOS App Store, and you know this. Many observers and analysts saying that this is kind of a regular thing. Western media platforms that get very popular end up getting blocked. Twitch has confirmed they've been blocked in China, but they don't have any other details at this time. So in some ways, it's kind of a, you made it, kid. And in other ways, it's a, well, that's a bummer because there were probably folks in China that wanted to watch some of these esport things that they can't because they were being streamed on Twitch. Mm. And how does this affect Overwatch League? I'm kind of curious because don't we have an expansion team in China and all those games were being broadcast on Twitch?
Damn it.
Or do they go, are they on a different platform in China? Maybe they are. I just may not be aware that there may be a China-centric live streaming platform that they use over there. So I'm kind of curious about that. No. So there you go. So unfortunately, when we just finally make our move to Twitch, which is you know still on the radar if these cable issues get fixed, we should be making our own move to Twitch. Folks in China won't be able to see it live, unfortunately. But I don't think anybody in China is listening live today. If you are, you should let us know because I would love to hear from you. But remember, the podcast is not going to be changing at all. So if we have Chinese folks that listen on the podcast, well, that will still be deleted. That will not be going to Twitch. That will still be through the same similar sort of setup that you get it today. So ActDef says, I think Overwatch League games are also on Major League Gaming's website. Gotcha. I was going to say, there's got to be another option because that would be a bummer to have this whole expansion team for Overwatch League and then people in that city can't even watch it. Even though everybody's living in LA anyway, but oh well. All right, let's go back to when things were simpler. Let's go back to a time when we couldn't live stream games. If you wanted to watch me play a game, you'd come over and sit on the couch.
Or we had to put our video camera in front of our TV to videotape the high score and send a VHS tape.
That's right. Or when I was playing Ultima Exodus, I would use the sight spell to get the map for the dungeon, and I would record it so I could refer to it later.
I used to draw my maps.
Map. Nice. All right.
On old blue jeans. So I had them on denim and rolled up as folds.
It is the classic game of the week. No magic needed this week. Darkstalker is going to climb into the gaming vault and find a game or two that she thinks, hey, you kids, play this game. You don't need no $100 stinking PlayStation Classic to play this.
This is pre-Rumble Pack N64 shit here.
That's right. Here it is, your classic game of the week. So Darkstalker, what did you pick for the classic game of the week this week?
I picked Chameleon Twist. It is a pretty difficult game. It has a weird continue system, but it's Treasure. Wait, no, it's not. It's Sunsoft. It's pre-Treasure stuff. Anyway, Chameleon Twist is where you play as one of four chameleons, and you go over different worlds. It has a very long tongue to use as a weapon, and you can also use it kind of as a grappling hook. And you can use the tongue. You basically move the tongue on its own with the analog stick. And you also have like a training area that you can learn how to master the tongue. So you have to go through different indoor environments. You have a boss battle. And then you have to keep collecting hearts to replenish your health. And you play as a chameleon called Davy. And he follows a white rabbit into a magical ground in the hole, and he becomes a humanoid in Wonderland. His friends are Jack, Fred, and Linda. Are those just, like, the most white people names ever? Like, seriously?
No, I would say probably, like, Caitlin's, but spelled differently.
Anyway, so with the B button, you stick out your tongue. By the way, this was on Nintendo 64. And then you move the tongue around with the analog stick, which controls, you know, the movement there. So you can use that to get power-ups at a distance or to swallow enemies. It will extend until it hits its full length, and then it will retract back or until it bumps a wall, which will also make it back go back. So it is just a standard, you know, tongue thing when they swallow the enemies, but you have the option of spitting the enemy back out at the other enemies, kind of, you know, Yoshi or Kirby style. I mean, except Kirby actually spits out little cute stars. You can jump around the level to use with your tongue to get, you know, you can launch into the air by using your tongue. You get, like, pretty much tongue vaulting, tongue pole vaulting. So you actually can use a pole with the tongue as a grapple and swing yourself across. But you also have multiplayer mode, which is 2 to 4 players that has a battle royale or a time trial where you have to be the last chameleon standing on the platform for battle royale. But with time trial, you have to stay on the platform the longest.
Marvin is looking for more credit.
Really, he has a few late payments, but came out in 1997. That was a while ago.
God damn these fucking ads.
Adblock, Rob. Adblock.
I thought I had it on this computer.
It's just time to upgrade YouTube.
It's time to upgrade a lot.
But that's it. It's Chameleon Twist. I don't know why I had it in my brain this was a treasure game.
Well, it is a treasure of a different sort. There it is.
A poopy treasure.
Your classic game of the week. Chameleon Twist.
Sunsoft.
All right. We're going to take a break. We haven't done that in a little while because we've had magic to hold us over. We're going to take a break.
Rob, coffee.
When we come back, there'll be plenty more Orange Lounge Radio, including your emails, your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype, and some other rapid fire news. We'll talk a little bit about pinball, at least of the virtual sort. Talk a little bit about Red Dead Redemption and some negative Fortnite news. But maybe for some people, it's actually a positive. I'll tell you what we mean after we come back from the break with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio live with our 745th episode already in progress for tonight, September 23rd of 2018. Dark Sakura joining us in studio, who has not been able to be here at the show live for about a month, and unfortunately, probably for a couple more months, but able to visit like once a month.
Yeah, and I'm...
Because of work.
Yeah, basically. Because of work. I'm trying to get things together, you know.
But I will say, speaking of work, I know I don't want to get into too many details because it isn't anyone's business what you do during the day, but I did hear you got like a promotion you were going for at work. So
big, I'll put it this
big
way.
Ups on that. Congrats.
It was actually, even when I was a temp at my job, mm-hmm. it was the first job I applied and interviewed for,
mm-hmm.
was in this position, and it wasn't the one I got because I think they were opening it for other temps
sure.
at the time. But I have gone up through the ranks as high as I could go in one direction, and I finally am in the department I wanted to be in. So
as much as it sucks that you can't always be here on Sundays, this is a good thing for your.
And
you
I got
know.
A raise out of it, so
yeah. So as much as it sucks for you not being here, the reality is, you know, you're doing great things at your day job, and this is just part of what you got to do to make that happen. So
yeah,
I just want to give you congratulations. I'm sure all the listeners are going to say the same type of thing in chat because y'all
Thank
rock
you.
Here at Orange Lounge Radio. It's appreciated.
And I'm happy to do my radio magic. You know,
yeah,
come over and visit and do what I can to make sure y'all don't forget about me.
We could never. You need to do more streaming and that type of stuff to keep us remembering who you are.
Actually, to get me back to doing more World of Warcraft, even though all I'm doing is just bumming around and, you know, cussing at people. I cuss at the characters in the game, Rob. I tell them that they're shitholes.
You kind of should. Like, Sylvanas is totally a bitch now. Like, what happened? Like,
well, but
I'm not saying that because it's the cheap shot because she's a woman and anything. Like, she is a bitch.
She has turned into full-on cunt monster. Yeah,
okay,
I mean, seriously.
You said it. I did.
No, I'm like, they're ruining her. They're ruining her.
They are. I used to like her. Now she's like, why are you such a bitch, lady?
Like, what crawled up your mall and died, you know? Oh, yeah, she's already dead inside. You know what? I still think that it would serve her right if they made her alive again, like for the final thing.
I've heard the fan wank theory. It's nothing official. Obviously, Blizzard's keeping that under wraps. But fan wank theory seems to think that's how this ends.
Mm.
Like, it would be a much fitting end for her as opposed to what happened to Garrosh.
Yeah.
So, be interesting if things went that direction. So.
And they've done all these books, like, with her and her sisters getting back together in different books and mm-hmm. everything. So, we'll see how that turns out. But I'm still doing the Argus content because I want to make a Void Elf. Although, I will probably still play my Demon Hunty. because Demon Hunter's fun.
Yeah, I kind of miss my monk.
I have a Pandaren.
My one bitch about WoW, I'll say this, and we'll get back into some rapid fire news. My one bitch about WoW, I do not like how they locked those races behind these dumb achievements in the last expansion that you have to. That's stupid. I'm sorry.
I'm glad I got my what the fuck elf Nightfallen when I did before they put it behind. Well, actually, no, I was already elevated, exalted. Mm. With that faction anyway, so maybe that's why I got it. I don't know.
I just don't like it. It's dumb.
It's stupid.
All right.
How dare they?
You know what's awesome? Some more gaming news. Rapid fire news, starting off with Loki.
Yes, let's talk about one of my favorite franchises, Earth Defense Force. Right around the corner, Earth Defense Force 5. Another game where you'll be shooting giant bugs, and they don't really change a whole lot each game, but it's a new one. And it's coming out December 11th, right around the corner, on PlayStation 4, hopefully PC at some point soon. I'll have to pick it up, because I do.
Because Earth Defense Force, and it's you. Of course you're going to pick it up.
Earth Defense Force, and it's like the same. Like, when I talk about roster update, man, that game is just like, it's the same shit all the time. But I'm down. I'll buy it.
But you'll buy it, but you're going to eat that shit up with a spoon, and there's nothing wrong with
that. Yes, I will. I will do that. There is a rumor that there is a possible leaked character from Smash Brothers Ultimate. Of course.
Oh, it must be a day ending in Y on some web forum.
Of course, remember that there are a lot of faked screenshots, so take this with a grain of salt. But the picture shows Ken of Street Fighter 2. It could see that being like an Echo Fighter for Ryu or something like that. But
that is a very obvious sort of Echo character.
But
Ryu.
It could also be incredibly bullshit fake. So
okay,
keep that in mind as well. But it is something that I could see where they pad the roster with that. So, you know. Don't be surprised if that's an announcement. But don't be not surprised if it's completely fake because, you know.
perfect way to say that there. Don't be surprised if it happens, but you know what? Don't be surprised if it doesn't happen. Just don't be surprised. It's the internet, y'all. Directed to you in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I want to believe Ken is really in the game, but yeah, I'm trying hard not to fall for this. I mean, it does make a lot of sense. They don't really have to give him anything special. It would just be a different look.
Just an Echo Fighter.
Yeah, it's an Echo Fighter. All right, we'll see. Anyway, moving on with some more rapid-fire news. This is certainly deserving of a longer story slot, but there isn't a lot to say on this. Nobuo Uematsu, who, of course, the most famous composer behind pretty much every epic Final Fantasy song from the early day. He did every Final Fantasy soundtrack pre-11. He's done a lot of this stuff since then, too. He did music for Chrono Trigger, you know, lots of great RPGs you can probably think of. He is ceasing his current work due to health problems. He hasn't said what the health problem was, but he did say on his blog in a post that he made, he's been affected by a unnamed disease for a few years, and it's now at a point where he is unable to act at full capacity. So he's taking time to rest and considering if he's going to be able to do any future projects at all. Again, we don't know what the illness is. I'm not going to speculate here. Certainly many people are, you know, inventing the scenarios in their head. I'm just going to hope that he gets better. This is a decision he's come to with his doctors that if it takes a break from work and the stress that comes with it for a little while, it's going to help him get better. I'm really, really going to hope that that is the case. Because Nobuo Uematsu, he's in his 50s, his late 50s, not an old guy. It's just, just, you know, sending well wishes and thoughts and, you know, healing vibes his way. And, you know, obviously his impact to games has been extraordinary. But if he needs to take a break, he's fucking earned it. So let's give him his privacy. Moving on to Tetris Effect, which Dark Soccer brought up a little bit earlier, but I'll kind of finish the thought here because not only did we get to see that at the Tokyo Game Show, we got a date for that game. November 9th is when you can all start feeling the Tetris Effect. So I'll finally be in my PlayStation VR by November 9th.
Go play Rez. Come on.
And I need to play
this. I understand that you have like space issues in your room, but here's the best part about it. The camera doesn't have to be on top of the TV. You can face it and complete. I played VR in my kitchen Without a TV awesome. Even hooked up.
All right, that's good to know. It's good to know. But anyway, of course, you know, everything else we've heard about Tetris, nothing else has changed. That zone mechanic where you can freeze time and kind of build up your Tetris clears and stuff, you can do all that. So PlayStation 4 on November 9th, that is the big day for that. Darksakura, you got a couple things for us.
I do. There has been something sent to the Game Rating and Administration Committee of Korea. They have a rating out for Castlevania Requiem, Symphony of the Night, and Rondo of Blood for PlayStation 4 for a Japanese language release. We don't have any announcements from Konami out here, but, I mean, that would simply be, you know, Nocturne in the Moonlight and Rondo of Blood. So, yay, I hope. Could use another copy of that game. And then also, Sega announced a release of Sega Genesis Classics for Nintendo Switch will be a 50-plus game bundle that includes Golden Axe, Phantasy Star, Sonic the Hedgehog, and the Streets of Rage series, also including a few like Kid Chameleon and Toe Jam and Earl. So there you go.
All right. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of things you get to play a little sooner than that collection on the Switch. Loki, starting us off in the U.S.
Okay. So we've got Galmetal World Tour Edition on the Switch. Gianna Sisters Twisted Dreams Owl-timate Edition. I guess an owl. That's on the Switch.
Oh, ho, ho.
We've got Metal Max Xeno on PlayStation 4. Moonlighter on the Switch. Pathfinder Kingmaker on PC, Mac, and Linux. Punchline on PC, PlayStation 4, and Vita. It's not dead! It's not dead! Zavarier Delta on the Switch and PlayStation 4. South Park, The Stick of Truth on the Switch. This is the Police 2 on the Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Valkyria Chronicles 4 on PC, Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. The Walking Dead, the final season or episode 2, Suffer the Children on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Dragalia Lost on Android and iOS. And we've got Life is Strange 2, Episode 1 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Super Neptunia RPG on the Switch, PlayStation 4. Dragon Ball FighterZ on the Switch. And finally, last but not least, FIFA 19 on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, the Switch, and on PC. No Wii U version, I'm surprised, but then again, not surprised.
All right. Traveling to Japan and looking at some of the releases there. On the PlayStation 4 on September the 27th, Iudensetsu Shin no Kisuke 4, The End of Saga from Falcom comes out on, again, September the 27th is when that is out. And this game looks like, I'm trying to think if it's something that's localized here, but I don't think it is. Legend Heroes, maybe something like that? I don't know. Anyway.
Which one?
This game.
What's it called?
Iudensetsu Shin no Kisuke 4, The End of Saga.
I don't know.
Legend Heroes might be. Anyway, that is coming out. That seems to be kind of the big... Legend of Heroes is what Dark Tetsuya thinks it is. Utaware Rumono Zan comes out also as well this week in Japan. Musou Orochi 3 out this week as well. And that same Utaware Rumono Zan has a premium edition with that as well. So Super Neptunia RPG is this week, as well as a Eternal Preservation edition of the Iudensetsu game I talked about just a moment ago. Tayutama 2, You're the Only One, is out this week, as well as Warriors Orochi 4 in regular and limited edition. There's also a collector's edition on that as well. Assetto Corsa is out, as well as MotoGP 18. Kind of a busy week there in Japan. Taking a look at the Nintendo Switch real fast to see if we're getting anything there. Oh, yes, The World Ends With You Final Remix. I think some folks looking forward to that. That is out in Japan this week on the Switch. Senju no Valkyria 4, which I imagine is Valkyria Chronicles 4, also out this week on the Switch in Japan. That's Super Neptunia RPG, also out this week. And Warriors Orochi 4, also out. And Dragon Ball FighterZ is out on the Switch this week in Japan. So I'm sure some folks will be eating that up. Let's go to the UK, Dar Sakura.
Oh, there is a bunch. So just for the 25th, we have FIFA 19 Champions Edition, Early Access, Jagged Alliance, Rage, Valkyria Chronicles 4, This Is Police 2, Total War Warhammer, Dark Gods Edition, Valtherian Arc, Hero School Story. That's on the 28th, by the way. Warhammer was on the 27th. Again on the 28th, Blind, Dakar 18, FIFA 19, Fire Pro Wrestling, Little Dragon's Cafe, Moonlighter, Forza Horizon 4 Ultimate, that's the edition with Early Access, Super Street the Game, and Dragon Ball FighterZ on Switch. That's it.
All right, I think we're about to head off to the mailbag. Every week you guys email us, participate at orangeloungeradio.com, and we read your emails here live on air, as long as you keep them classy, appropriate, and all that. And we're going to get into the mailbag this week, so let's do it. Darksakura's here, so she should read the emails again. I've been doing it lately, but I think Darksakura should get back to reading emails. What do you think, Darksakura?
Sure. So this comes from Ryan. Hey, OLR, while hanging out in the VOG Network Discord, which you can also participate in at vognetwork.com/discord.
Brilliant plug.
Well, thank Ryan. I noticed that Alan plays a bit of Dark Souls. Whether a newbie or a seasoned player, I'm curious to hear about his experiences with the game or if he had any cool stories to share. Love the show, Ryan. Alan was not in here to hear this message.
No, Alan was not in here to hear this message. I will fix that here shortly. So I'll get him in here, see if he's available, if he's not in the middle of an Overwatch match. Do we have another email? Why don't you read that one while I work on Alan?
Okay. Last episode, you were discussing the face of each company and couldn't come with one for Sony other than Kaz Hirai, who left PlayStation side of the company in 2012. Here are a few guys you couldn't think of. Andrew House, Adam Boyes, and Shuhei Yoshida. The former two are no longer with the company, but were arguably the faces for a while as they were the ones who show up at PSX or E3 every stage up until they left last year. Shuhei is the current president of Sony Worldwide Studios, i.e. the person who oversees each of their first-party studios, and also gets a share of stage appearances. Perhaps the fact you couldn't think of them lends credence to the idea that Sony doesn't have as strong of a face as Iwata or Miyamoto or Reggie, but when you think of someone of the well-known PlayStation clips, it's usually those people. Like, here's how you share games with a friend on PS4 dig at Microsoft with Shuhei and Adam in the video. Shu does get mobbed at E3 and PSX for pictures, so he's certainly well-known among some groups. And much like Stan Lee, who was the kickoff for the topic, Shu has had cameos in a bunch of other video games. Oddly enough, not usually first-party, but indie games like Super Time Force Ultra, Everything, and Velocity have used him or his likeness. And this comes from Andrew. That's all I'm going to say. I don't have a nickname on it.
Probably the closest thing to like a mascot or whatever is probably, you know, Shu is mentioned in that. But I still don't know if even that is on that same level as something like Miyamoto or Reggie Fils-Aimé or has that social media presence that Major Nelson has on Twitter for Microsoft or some of that. Like, I still don't feel like it's quite at the same level. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, I appreciate their perspective, but I kind of get where you're going, that especially, you know, some of these guys are really recognized in some circles, but I don't know if they're the face on that same level.
Yeah.
But I should have thought of at least, you know, one of those last week. Anyway, I want to go back to the previous email. So I actually made him die on a boss so he could answer this question. So we got an email. Hi, Alan.
Hello.
So we got an email about the
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls, because they're on the Discord server, so they can see that you're playing Dark Souls all the time. So tell us a little bit about why are you playing Dark Souls and your experience with that.
Or if you have cool stories.
Just the remastered is out, and I've moved on to Dark Souls 2 because I finally got burned out on the remaster just these last couple of days. Just the versatility of creating a build, like having a strength character that wields like a giant, basically like a tree, like an uprooted tree that's just like wham, like bam bam, you know, from the Flintstones. Or like a Dex character or like a caster, just all the different types of weapons. It's a really, there's a lot of stuff under the surface aside from just it's really hard, and then of course a lot of it's muscle memory, so when you beat it, the incentive is there to do the new game plus stuff because you're gonna have a way more fun time your second and third time through because you know how to get through everything.
Now, you are like playing so much Dark Souls, you've actually accomplished the rare accomplishment of getting what is essentially, I mean, you're playing it on PC, not PlayStation 4, but you're getting basically the equivalent of the Platinum Trophy. You've gotten every single achievement in Dark Souls, right?
Yeah, the remaster, yes.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. Why do you think this is the game that you want to, like, and you guys don't live with him, but I do. He plays this game. It's like this and Overwatch. If he's playing something that's not this or Overwatch, I'm like, what the hell's going on? You okay? What is it? Why this game is what you're into right now? And I'm not asking that in an accusing way. I'm just curious, like, what is driving the passion for that?
I sort of just have a really addictive personality, so when a game catches my attention, I play it to the exclusion of all else for 3 or 4 months, and then I move on to something else. I'll probably end up playing Mass Effect again or Skyrim at some point, and you'll be like, if you see Skyrim, you're going to see nothing but Skyrim for about 3 or 4 months, and then I'll move on to something else. So it's just whatever.
So when you play a game, you play a game.
Yes, until I am absolutely sick of it. So it's kind of like, you know, my Steam library has 300 games that I have only beaten like 20 of them, and I just play those same 20 games over and over and over again, like Dragon Age Origins, and I can't speedrun that game. If I do another Origins career, it's probably about a 60 or 70 hour commitment.
Now, you've played Dark Souls 2 as well, right?
Yes.
But not really 3.
Correct.
Why?
Just, it's the one I know the least, and I have fear of the unknown. So it's because I can play the other two inside and out. So I'm like, okay, here's how I get this really incredible weapon that makes me overpowered at a really early level.
You weren't always that way, right?
True, but you just, I don't know. I just watch Let's Plays of YouTubes of like, here's how to become a hex caster by level 10. And it's like, oh, all right. So I just need to do that for Dark Souls 3.
All right, so maybe in the next 3-4 months we'll see Dark Souls 3.
Yes.
All right. I think you've satisfactorily answered the email. Thank you, Alan. Round of applause for Alan. Thank you. It says something that he's quite the spouse that I can pull him from whatever he's doing to make him answer a listener email. So there you go. All right. Were there any more emails?
Yeah, there was one more.
Okay.
Kind of long one.
Okay.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for promoting. This is from Flacco Jones, by the way.
Okay.
Thanks for promoting my Twitch channel on the show last week. I was wondering what your thoughts were about the issues of Nintendo Cloud Saves not working for all games. They're really plugging this feature in the build-up to the reveal of their paid online service. But just before launch, they announced that it won't work for some games, including arguably their best online title, Splatoon 2. There's still no way to back up your saves for Splatoon 2 and whichever other online titles they won't allow cloud saves for. So if your Switch breaks or gets stolen, you lose all that data, which for me is nearly 99 levels in Splatoon 2, as well as my gear, gold, snail, etc. They claim to be doing this because people could use cloud saves to cheat. For example, lose a ranked match that would rank you down, just reload an old save from the cloud before that match. That type of cheating or save scumming did run rampant in Splatoon 1, but in my opinion isn't really a game-breaking cheat since it only affects that player's rank or some minor gear upgrade rules or whatever else save scumming could be used for, usually pretty minor stuff. Meanwhile, cheaters are everywhere in Splatoon 2 because if you hack your Switch, it's very easy to tweak anything from your rank to your weapons abilities to even the maps you can load onto. So why would cheaters bother save scumming when they can already cheat in far more effective and game-breaking ways by hacking? And Nintendo has no anti-cheat installed to stop these players. They only go off reports from other players, so a smart cheater would just tweak themselves to be powerful enough to dominate matches, but not so much that it raises other players' suspicions. Ironically enough, I'm considering hacking my Switch, since only then would I be able to create a backup save, because Nintendo, won't put a little extra work to do what online games like Overwatch already do, which is just save your account data on their own server instead of pulling it from your console. Anyway, that's my rant on the subject. I'm overall very unimpressed with the implementation of Nintendo's paid online service, but that's a whole other topic. Thanks for the great show. Can't wait for your move to Twitch. Flacco Jones.
Yeah, I just, because I remembered, I downloaded the Nintendo app, their online app. Let's see what I'm paying for here. Voice chat, game-specific services, Splatoon 2. I don't own Splatoon 2. That's no fucking use to me.
Some comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf, our pal, also on the network here, says they designed their online system terribly and are trying to cover it up. They shouldn't store your online data on your local system. They should store it 100% on their servers.
Exactly.
And there's a couple people jumping in going, yes, this.
And that wouldn't be that hard to fix either. Patch the shit. You can patch your games now, Nintendo. start storing it on the server, and then just don't store it on locally anymore, and then you can do the backups.
This online thing really has some of the, you know, I consider Flacco to have always been somebody who's, you know, been pretty quick to defend Nintendo and appreciate Nintendo, and I, you know, and it's not just him, but I'm picking on him because of the email at the moment, but I feel like a lot of Nintendo fans out there, like, this online thing, even the most heavy Nintendo fans are having a hard time, like, sticking up for it.
Ridiculous.
And even saying Nintendo has been making some pretty shitty decisions with this thing.
Like, I get the defense with them, like, oh, we're not paying a lot of money for it. Oh, it's Nintendo, and Nintendo makes good games. You know what, though? Sony makes good games. Microsoft makes good games.
Well,
lots of companies make good games.
Sony and Microsoft, as we have seen and discussed on the show, are also not infallible to making bad decisions. They're just bad decisions of a different sort, usually.
Yeah.
It's not usually the online thing that's the problem. Well, no, I take that back, because it's interesting, because Microsoft kind of had... Microsoft's big screw-up was really in how they delivered the message of their online. I think if they had delivered that message in a different way, we'd be looking at a completely different, like, ecosystem of gaming right now with Xbox One. If they had delivered the message in the appropriate way, and they could have maybe done that by not firing their community outreach team, but that's another story. That, you know, is, again, part of the problem. But if Microsoft had maybe delivered that message in a different way, I mean, gaming would be so, I think, different right now, and I don't think Microsoft would have been the bad guy this last generation, as they kind of ended up being for a time.
Yeah. It's just... At this point, like how many times are we going to excuse them?
I'm jumping. Kaijuno in chat says, you mean if they lied? No, that's not what I mean. What I said was, if they had delivered the message in a different way. I'll repeat that for you so you can hear that, because I didn't mean anything different. Thank you.
It's just at this point, like, it's kind of like, I get it. Like, oh, well, we didn't expect much from Nintendo, but why don't we? Like, look at it. Look at their quality of their games, the effort that they put into the software that runs on their stuff, but they don't put that same quality into their networking. I mean, like, that's kind of got to be a scar on their brand, because, like, Nintendo is Nintendo. Not Nintendo is only the games that run on it and only the hardware, but the networking that's absolute shit. Well, that's not Nintendo. You know, bullshit. That's your fucking company. You got to put the same effort into it. And this is ridiculous to not think of designing your games while we're storing all the player data locally. You don't see anything wrong with that? Let me. How long has networking been a thing? Like, you know, that's like basic shit. That, you know, that's not what you're supposed to do. You store it in the cloud so that they can't be manipulated. I don't understand how this is new information to them. It's like they've never played another console or never experienced the world. I mean, I don't get it.
Here's the unfortunate thing that's going to happen. Nintendo is not going to change anything. Why? Because Nintendo Online is going to sell just fine. Plenty of people are going to sign up for Nintendo Online because they want to play Smash Online, they want to play Splatoon Online, they want to play Mario Kart Online, they want to play NES Classics, even though we all know it's not as optimal
as
it
could be.
And
that's fine.
People are going to pay the money. And to be fair, it's cheaper than the others. So they're going to pay the money to do all that online. And Nintendo is not going to be motivated to change it.
And then that's fine. And you know what? It may not be a thing where it affects them right now. It will eventually. Eventually, they're going to hit everybody's breaking point to where it's just going to... They're either going to fix it and it's going to get better, or they're just going to keep doing this shit and eventually it's not going to be acceptable anymore. It's like kind of like with new phones that come out where they hardly change anything. You know, they add a little bit of bit polish to it, and then they charge another $200 on top of what they charged for the phone last year. I mean, it's eventually some people will keep upgrading and stuff like that, but eventually it's like, okay, really, what am I paying for? This isn't that different, you know? It's going to end up like that. Well, it's like, you know, this isn't really acceptable at this time. Like, I can get much better. Yeah, I'm paying a little bit more for the service on this console, but I'm getting a lot more
free games.
Free games and just features. Like, I'm not even talking, like, free games aside, let's just pretend we don't even get those stupid NES games. Okay.
Share play is, I think, is a huge thing that Sony has.
Share play is a huge
feature.
Thing.
People don't talk enough about that. That's a huge deal.
But, like, even just, like, voice chat on the console?
To be clear, I've said a lot of negative stuff about Sony tonight with the Classic and everything, but to give credit where credit is due, like, that share play is truly an amazing and under-talked about feature. It really does, like, it allows you to try games that you don't fucking own. It's pretty great.
I mean, just like even basic stuff, like voice chat, using the system, not a phone app. Why the hell do I have to have a phone app to voice? That's stupid. Well, any console, like,
you don't, as Fortnite has demonstrated.
You don't, exactly. Why Nintendo, on their own platform, their own product, like, they're supposed to be the best at making games. Like, they're just, like, fantastic. But yet, it's stupid. It's like, who designed this shit? Like, seriously, what programmer out there said, hey, this is a good fucking idea? Like, who did this? I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense. But you know what? Whatever. It's just, it's going to be what it is. It's just going to be the hassle that we're going to have to deal with.
All right. Bobby Blackwolf in chat wants to point out, no programmer said that. It was management.
Exactly. But who let them say that was a good... Who ran with that idea, though? Like, someone has to say, you know what? You see, in the modern age that we're living in, that's stupid, and no one does it that way.
And management said, I don't care, that's what we're doing, says Bobby. Well, we've seen what bad management can do, but Nintendo, like, the thing is, like, it's just not going to stop, because for the reasons I pointed out, this Nintendo Online thing is going to do just
fine.
They
have to fall from their graces in order for this shit to happen. It's...
What has to happen is that a kid has to get hurt somehow due to this. And I would never advocate for violence against children. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, you'll notice Nintendo doesn't do, like, crazy things and, like, change things up until kids could possibly be in danger.
Where are my paper cut stories from Labo?
That's when things
That's
will change.
That's dangerous shit.
That's
right
when,
there.
Like, they're not just going to change it. They'll full on delete it like they did with Swapnote, because kids may be in danger. So that's storing files on the server. What has to happen is that there has to be, like, threatening messages to children in those files for that to stop.
Like, we have the friend
Obviously,
codes
I'm
in
being
there.
Crazy.
They
I
have
hope
the
you know
friend,
I'm being ridiculous.
Like, why do we have friend codes in there if voice chat's going to be turned off? Oh, well, it could be a rapist that's going to try to, you know, contact them. Then why have the friend codes in the first place if it's not going to stop anything? It doesn't make it. It's stupid. It's just so many levels of stupid.
Okay, on a different note, we had a story that got cut for tonight because, in my mind, it wasn't really a story. It was something you posted. It wasn't really a story. It was somebody sharing their experiences, and they said that they were playing Mario Kart online and using the voice chat app, when you would expect that playing online with strangers is going to be a shithouse, as it usually is on Xbox Live, on PlayStation Network, is that you hear all sorts of racial slurs, things against, you know, gay slurs, things like that, is the type of stuff you hear online. But apparently, some people's experience on Nintendo's online service has been very pleasant. Apparently, getting online playing Mario Kart, it's like, oh, well, you know, oh, this is...
That's
this,
because...
That was quite,
like,
the race, wasn't it? Oh.
Yeah, well...
We're having a jolly time, aren't we?
It's like, just have the option where you speak to only your friends. I mean,
but
you have friend codes.
Apparently,
like,
talking to strangers on Nintendo Online is not all bad.
Well, so is it.
You're not there.
As it is on, like, Xbox and PlayStation. It's the same everywhere. There's going to be assholes everywhere. But there's also, not everybody is an asshole out there. Like, that's the thing. Don't just assume it's going to be shit. If it was all shit, then they wouldn't offer it as a service.
Dark Sakura, have you missed your weekly Nintendo rants by Loki?
It's not a Nintendo rant. Stupid. If Sony did the same thing, I'd be just as mad at them. It's dumb.
All right. Let's move on. Breathe in, breathe out, Loki. We still have some news to cover before we get to phone calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. I believe we're done with emails, right? That was the last email?
Yeah, that was
All right.
it.
Thank you, Flacco, for the email. Look at what you did. All right, anyway. Everybody follow Flacco on Twitch, especially because I can't broadcast right now, so you should watch Flacco instead. You know, obviously, there's many people I would recommend on Twitch. What I'd really recommend, look at our Discord server if you go to vognetwork.com/Discord, because we have a Twitch channel where people alert when they're live. And so I would say, watch all those people. This is fantastic. All right, let's get back into some news before we get to some calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. Loki.
So this week was the big old Red Dead Redemption 2 media blitz, where they had allowed a lot of the different outlets out there to check out the game for a few hours. Also, they talked a little bit about Red Dead Online, which is going to be launching after the game launches the following month in November. They're going to start a public beta. They basically said, as with most online experiences of this size and scale, there will inevitably be some turbulence at launch. So they're hoping that with this beta test that they're going to help iron those out. Same with you. I can't think Grand Theft Auto 5 had a big, you know, shit show when it came to Grand Theft Auto Online. Also, what we've learned from the experience when launching online games at this scale, there are bound to be a few issues, and we want to ensure that we have time to gradually roll out the game and make sure the experience is as smooth as possible for everyone that we can. And we believe this way of rolling out will give people the best overall experience, both single player and multiplayer. And from what I hear, the game, the online portion is supposed to be pretty similar to Red Dead Redemption, the multiplayer in that game, which is actually pretty fun. I did play quite a bit of that. It was one of the games that did support System Link at the time, so we ended up playing that quite a bit. But it was fun. There's to kind of free roam and do all that. I can't wait to check it out, though. It sounds pretty cool. It looks pretty. And, you know, and because of all these media outlets and talking about the detail, because remember the one thing with Grand Theft Auto 5 was the level of detail, and the one thing that stood out with me, of course, because someone's going to ask that, they asked about the horse testicle physics.
Oh, good God.
And apparently, yes, there are horse testicle physics, and not only are there horse testicle physics, but they even went so far as when your horse is walking through a wintry environment, the testicles actually shrink and expand depending on the heat. That is some level of detail right there.
I appreciate attention to detail.
Okay.
But like,
I want to know, because look, here's my thing with horses. Whenever you watch horses, like you'll see the horses at Disneyland, you'll see the horses in a parade. Everybody sees the horses in a parade. You know what I associate those horses with? The fact that right when they get in front of where you're watching, they take a gigantic fucking dump right in front of you.
Because
the horses in Red Dead Redemption just like, is it that thing like if you go too long without moving the controller? Like, you know how like
idle animation.
They might tap the screen, like, you know, the whole thing. Does the horse, like if you just stand there for too long, does the horse just take a massive shit on the ground?
I don't know.
Because it's bored?
But it just that I can only imagine the level of detail in the game is going to be incredible, just because in Grand Theft Auto 5 is incredible, and it's been so many years after that. So I can't wait.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, imagine marching behind them in a band. I have. I was a marching band in high school, and they used to tell us, like, well, if that happens, you just got to march right through it. And no, we marched around it. No, sorry. Like, you know, oh, the team's going to lose points. Sorry, I'm not going to step in that. No, I won't be doing that today. Let's see. And Brad from Pod Culture confirms there is horse crapping in Red Dead Redemption 2. Oh, happy day.
Hooray.
It's so realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just waiting for somebody to ask. I'm watching chat like a hawk. I'm waiting for somebody to ask. Can you fuck the horse? Can you be a horse fucker?
No, I don't think you can.
Can you eat the horse? Apparently horse is supposed to be pretty delicious.
All right, moving on. Hey, let's talk about Dark Tetsuya said there'll probably be a PC mod for that. You're right.
No, all it'll right. never come out on PC, apparently, they said. So it's
uh-huh,
never coming out.
Sure, uh-huh.
Red Dead Redemption 1 never came out on PC.
Oh, I guess that's true.
So
huh?
They said that it's never coming out on PC.
All right. Anyhow, let's talk about something that will be coming out on PC and something very different from horse shitting and fucking and dicks. There's no way that you can make pinball nasty. That's right. Pinball's a wholesome family fun
until
game.
Now with horse fucker the table.
There have been some adult-themed pinball tables.
All right. Let's go from one balls to another. Talking about pinball, we've talked in the past few weeks on the show about how Zen Studios got the Williams table. That should have been one of the stories I put in the poll to ask you about, Darsagra. But Zen Studios is getting that license from Farsight, who had the Williams and Bally license before. We know Zen Studios got that, and they've been testing. I actually did the beta test in Steam. You can turn it on, and you can play a demo table, and they're going to make this table free for everybody. The Fish Tales is the table that will be like the free for everybody to get you to download the game and check it out. And then if you want to get more tables, you'll be able to get the very first pack, Volume 1, on October 9th. Will include Medieval Madness, Junkyard, and The Getaway High Speed 2. It will set you back $9.99. That's $9.99 US dollars, $9.99 euros. It will be free. Fish Tales will be free, and the other games will cost you. It's going to be out on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Windows 10, Steam, and Zen Pinball 2 on the Mac. So even though Pinball FX3 never came out on the Mac, Zen Pinball 2 on the Mac will support these. So that's kind of interesting how they did that. So there you go. I don't know if any of you are going to check that out. I you know, those tables are okay. I mean, Medieval Madness is kind of a classic.
I've got Medieval Madness in my house.
I know. You're not a fan of the emulated because you're so attached to the real thing.
Yeah, but Fish Tales also isn't very fun to me.
For those of us that can't afford the real thing, though, this is a okay substitute. But I really, Pinbot is the one I really want. That's my favorite.
We may be selling Getaway.
Oh, really? Wow.
If you're interested.
Nah, I don't know. Look, this house has enough shit in it. I mean, I'll say if I can get rid of three pinball machine size things worth of shit, then I'll allow a pinball machine in here. We'll see. All right, let's move on. Dark Saga.
Well, there is a new cause of divorce in this country, and it's called Fortnite. More than 200 UK couples filed for divorce in 2018, and they cited addiction to Fortnite as their reason for divorce. If that's all it took to cause a divorce, then somebody in that family was boring the shit out of the other person in that family. But that's actually about 5% of the 4,665 petitions that Divorce Online has handled. It's actually a UK company that offers divorce services. And that seems to be the biggest one that came up. And this is also going hand in hand with the World Health Organization saying compulsive video game playing now constitutes a mental health condition. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if you want to pick an excuse, I guess that's as good as any. You could just say, we don't do anything together. We don't communicate. We don't leave the house. So
that's kind of what Kaijudo is referencing in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com says, I'm sure they had problems before Fortnite. So maybe Fortnite is just kind of like the objectification of all those things into one sort of, you know, tangible thing. I don't know. Fifth Dream in chat says, I'd divorce anyone who likes Fortnite, too. Now, Fifth Dream. It's a very, very popular game. There's many people to play it. But all right. Well, it's always interesting when video games get into other parts of life like that. So I wonder when we'll be seeing on the Divorce Court, the TV show, I'm divorcing my man because he plays too much Fortnite. SSJ remembers S200 Matt in our chat says, remember when World of Warcraft was the cause of divorces back in the day? Oh, remember the good old days, Dark Sakura, when it was my husband plays Horde. And I just can't marry a man because I'm an alliance character.
Well, they had like WoW widows.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what Victoria always claimed to be herself, was a WoW widow when she had dated that guy who was too busy, as she said, storming the castle. That's what she called raiding. He was too busy to go out because he was always storming the castle with his friends.
I just think of the Princess Bride. I know, that.
Me too. But that's kind of what it is.
Bye, boys. Have fun storming the castle.
That's what raiding is. You're storming the castle with your friends. All right. Anyway, let's move on. A few more stories for you guys before the Skype line. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. Loki, pretty big story here towards the end.
Yes. So we kind of alluded to it a couple weeks ago, talking about that there was a rumor that you're going to be able to start downloading titles as part of PlayStation Now, which has always been my gripe because PlayStation Now, I think, is a terrible service as far as having to stream all the time. And I wish that it would let you download it like, you know, you can with Games Pass. But now apparently you can with most of the titles on there. They're going to be starting, I guess, with almost all of the PlayStation 4 games in the service, including Bloodborne, God of War 3 Remastered, NBA 2K16, and Until Dawn will be available for download. In addition to the PlayStation Now lineup of classic PlayStation 2 games that they've remastered for PlayStation 4. And then they said they'll be rolling out that feature to PlayStation Now subscribers over the next few days. So if you don't see it, just check back later.
A lot of people very happy about this change, that Sony was kind of pressured to do so in response to Microsoft's system allowing you to do this.
Yeah, and then, like, you know, you still have to phone in every once in a while to, you know, so you can't play offline for a long time, but it's still nice to have that option. Still don't want to play the service, though, because a lot of the games that are in there I already own, and, yeah.
Fifth Dream says, and they will take advantage of PS4 Pro hardware. That's good.
But I'd imagine.
Isn't PS4 Pro kind of the default now? Do you still get regular PlayStations that aren't Pro anymore? I guess you probably still do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. I would imagine at some point PlayStation 4 Pro would just be the default.
Someday, but it has to come down in price, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
And they still do that with the Xbox, too, the Xbox One and S and X.
All right. Well, finally here tonight, before we go to our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype, although I'll ask if there's any last-minute stories as well. We do have a couple stories here about game companies who have helped to fulfill some final wishes of younger folks that are suffering with some different diseases. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, man, these are real, like, you know, just bad situations and unfortunate, but it's really cool that these gaming companies are helping, you know, these gaming fans in their last days to be able to play the games that they really want to play. The first story I have here has to do with Bethesda, who has showed up when a 12-year-old boy who had a rare form of cancer wanted to play Fallout 76. The kid was from Hampton Roads, Virginia. He was battling stage 4 neuroblastoma for half his life. He was diagnosed at 5 years old. Doctors have stopped his treatment, but then he realized he probably would not get to play Fallout 76, which is due in November. And I realize you could probably say some stuff here because I think Fallout is an M-rated series and he's a 12-year-old kid. But you know what? That's the family's decision to make, not yours. So he wanted to play Fallout 76. And apparently the assistant director at Bethesda actually drove 4 hours from the company's headquarters in Maryland to the family home with a copy of the game and a prototype of the power armor helmet that's going to come with that super special edition of the game, signed by the chief of Bethesda Game Studios, Todd Howard. So unfortunately, he didn't get to keep the game because it's just too early. And to be fair, in these situations, if it is out there in the media that somebody has something super special like this, it makes you a target for thieves. And so it's not that Bethesda is trying to be dicks by just not letting the kid keep the game, but it's actually risky to let him keep it if you really kind of critically think about it. It's an unfortunate thing, but that's what it is. So anyway, even though he didn't get to keep the game, still the hours of playtime made him happy, and they were all very very, very happy to make the wish come true and all that stuff, and that the kid got to play the game. So that's really cool. There is a GoFundMe out there for Wes trying to raise money to pay living expenses and trying to get the doctors in New York City and all this. So our thoughts with him. And a kind of a similar story here, this time Nintendo allowing a fan to play Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. This guy is a little older. He's in his early 20s, so he's not a kid per se, but he's got his own Twitter account and everything. Chris Taylor, a big fan of Smash Bros., and he also kind of, you know, he's battling cancer as well. And even though he's beat cancer twice before, he's being told that it's terminal, and he recently made the tough decision to stop treatment for that, but kind of realized that, oh, I may not get to play Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So there was a big, you know, push online, like gaming subreddits and, you know, people trying to amplify this, his wish to be able to play this. And what happened? Nintendo flew out an E3 demo of the game to him earlier this week, and he got to play the game for 3 hours. They took some pictures, and you can see some of this on Twitter, on his Twitter. He's Spooky Woobler on Twitter, and you can see some of the pictures. And so, you know, again, some people are like, well, why did he only get to play the E3 demo? Why didn't he get to play the full game? The
game's not done yet.
Yeah, well, yeah, for one, the game's not done yet. For two, you know, again, same things I mentioned before, is that when those types of things are in the hands, you know, and people know about it because of social media. In fact, he couldn't announce that this was happening until they already left. And again, it's because, you know, it would make you potentially a target for thievery and all this other stuff, which really, it's unfortunate. But anyway, very cool that these gaming companies are helping to make some wishes come true. And lots of people in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com giving a hearty hashtag fuck cancer in our chat. And I agree. But I'm, you know, despite the situation, I'm glad these gaming companies are able to, you know, help these folks out and let them play what they want to play. Okay, let's, on a different note, head over to our Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If there's something you would like to talk about that we've gotten to tonight, or maybe we haven't gotten to yet, maybe there's something you were hoping we would talk about that we never did, you can send us a call, right now, a live call, at Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. While we wait to see if the Skype line goes off, Loki, do we have any last-minute stories we want to get into?
No.
No.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Not a lot going on. Well, Dark Stalker, when do we get to see you here again? Are you going to be here the last weekend of October? It'll be the.
I'm going to try.
Yeah. How are things going with, you know, we didn't get asked to ask a lot about this, but I know Sundays are also a big thing for your sisters.
Our general meeting is every fourth Sunday. So I was up way early this morning to go to the sisters' meeting, had to leave that 15 minutes early to get to work, where my provisioning at my job had been messed up. So I didn't take any calls today. I did nothing but training. I was bored. But then I left.
And then, now you're here.
Yes.
So you had a very busy day.
And hopefully I'll be able to make, I'll be able to perfect my pumpkin bread. Not like a sweet bread. I'm planning on making a savory pumpkin bread.
And that'll be the time where nobody can bitch about the pumpkin stuff, too, because that'll be right around Halloween when you're here next. That'll be Halloween weekend, right? October 28th will be that show?
I like savory gourd stuff, you know, like pumpkins and butternut squashes and stuff like that. I like it savory and buttery. Mm-hmm. And I've got my bread recipe down. Like, I can't bake cookies and all that for shit, but I can bake bread.
Some of the savory pumpkin stuff's really good. Like, we get this pumpkin ravioli this time of year at Trader Joe's. It's really good. So
I think what I'd do is just get, like, the pumpkin pulp and spiral it in my dough.
Mm-hmm.
And then just let it bake from inside the dough.
Mm.
I think that would be good.
Sounds good.
And then just make it buttery and savory.
Again, the Skype line is open. Hopefully somebody will call, but if not, then not. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to get through on the Skype line tonight.
I'm not that intimidating, boys.
I will not be doing a live feed after the show tonight because, again, I'm still limited with my upload. I do hope to get that fixed. I have my gears turning in my head about some projects that I might work on, so stay tuned to my Twitch channel at Rob Roberts. I may try some experiments with video premieres this week and see what you guys like, what gets attention, and what nobody seems to care about.
Also, so, apparently today is the 129th anniversary of Nintendo.
Oh, right, because they started as a playing card company way, way, way back in the day. They were not always about...
Hanafuda.
What's that?
Hanafuda.
Oh, right, the specific type of... Not like Jack of Clubs, King of Hearts, those type of playing cards, but a very specific type of card. So Nintendo was not always about electronics. That's just kind of what it turned into and what they're most known for now. We do have a call coming in. Let's get to it. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is ACDeft.
Hey, ACDeft. It's good to hear from you, buddy. What's up?
I do want to talk about the PlayStation Classic.
Okay. What are your thoughts on it?
It's kind of stupid.
Why do you say that? You know, there's a lot of people that would be very excited about this. Why do you say it's crap?
Well, mostly I thought it was a good idea. It is a good idea, but at the same time, Sony's doing a lot of stuff that makes my head baffle. Like really, aside the fact it doesn't have like an AC adapter. Because, yeah, it's probably it's going to be like a phone adapter, mostly like the SNES or NES Mini. But the fact that the controllers aren't DualShock, it's like one of the first things that I really don't know what Sony is thinking. And
is it like the game selection, or is it just the price? What is it that's like turning you off to this?
Well, like, again, the first thing is the controllers. Like, they should be DualShocks. Like, really, I don't know why Sony is making those.
Yeah, I don't disagree
for
with
this
that
one.
That's for sure. I sure don't disagree with that.
But yeah, the price point, I would agree with it if it had like at least five more games, if it had a DualShock, if it had the AC adapter. But I really don't know. In the game selection, for 20 games for a classic system like this, seems like really, really low. And I understand that the SNES Mini also has only 20 or 21 games. But those are all classics. Like, in this case, of the five they have announced, only, like, well, aside Final Fantasy and maybe Tekken 3, the rest aren't that, like, popular. Even something like Ridge Racer, I don't think many people are excited about it. And something like Jumping Flash that, and personally, I like. It isn't that great of a game, and not many people like even like it. So I really don't know what Sony is thinking about this console or what's the idea behind it.
Well, they're thinking, how can we make money? How did our competition make money? Oh, we can do that. So I still sort of think that they could have, you know, really shown the value of making people, you know, or enticing people to buy a PlayStation 4 because, oh, you already have this old library of games that will automatically work on this new system. So feel free to get rid of your old system by buying this new system that will play all of your old games. And I get, like, again, I get that the chipset changes and those changes that happen within the system especially make this very hard with the PlayStation 3, although I still think they could have got around it with PlayStation Now, but whatever, they didn't want to allocate that type of server bandwidth and all that stuff. But, you know, at least the PlayStation 1 and 2 stuff you would think would still be able to work, but Sony just doesn't see the value in that. And so this is what they're deciding to do instead. So it is what it is. So you have to make a choice if you want to support it. And to be fair, you know, it is a cute little thing. Just like the little NES, classic NES, it's cute. It's something that I like for the look of it and not just what's inside of it. But I do have to admit, in retrospect, you know, now that I've played the Switch Online one, it's like, was it $60 cute? I don't know. So I think in some ways, some of that is almost making me hesitate when it comes to wanting to get like a classic Sony system. I don't know.
And that's the thing. Like, I really like want to get this. Because again, it sounds like a great idea. I wouldn't mind a classic Sony console, and just plug and play like the SNES and the NES Mini. But again, there are many things that I don't know what Sony's thinking about. That really, like, I have one pre-ordered on Amazon, but I'm probably gonna cancel it. The only thing, and many people probably aren't gonna yell at me because of this, is that probably those consoles are PlayStation TV or Vita TVs that they didn't sell. So it's probably gonna be hackable, like really easily hackable. And you're probably gonna insert many like ROMs or homebrew, and so that's the only appeal I see right now for the console, unless it has like a really cool game that hasn't gotten a re-release. Like I was talking in chat earlier, like Inhander, it hasn't gotten a re-release ever.
Yeah.
So like, the console has it. Okay, I'm gonna get it.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I really don't know why I would buy one of these.
You know, you kind of referenced something there I think is a huge missed opportunity from Sony. Like, if you're gonna charge $100 for one of these and get them in people's homes, why not make them capable of doing the Vita TV stuff, like a PlayStation or the PlayStation Now thing, or a lot of that similar functionality to the PlayStation TV, which, if I recall correctly, also costs $100, right? So
The PlayStation TVs nowadays are so cheap.
Well, it's right. So the technology, the price of those things should have come way down in technology. I can't imagine that you wouldn't be able to get a PlayStation emulator on one of those PlayStation Vita things and play, you know, the PS1 classics and charge $100 for
that. You don't even need to get a PlayStation 1 emulator. They have PlayStation 1 natively.
So why not sweeten the pot and don't just make it about being able to play 20 PlayStation classics, but holy shit, this thing will play newer stuff too. And then maybe Sony wouldn't have had to been so quick to abandon the Vita, but they weren't thinking far enough ahead, I guess. I think it's more about wanting to just, you know, strike while the iron is hot, so to speak, on these classics. And as soon as Nintendo had their runaway success a couple years ago, the gears were probably turning on this.
It's a little too late for that, I think, but
yeah,
it will still sell. People will buy it at least, but I don't know if Sony is gonna see a really, really great success from this. I really don't, but I don't know. Hopefully they change some of this, or again, if it's hackable, I think that's gonna be the appeal for this, because at least for my part, it's like, no. Yeah. No, Sony.
I hear you. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can see if anybody else wants to call, but thanks for your thoughts.
Hey, thanks.
All right, bye-bye. I'd be curious how the pre-orders are going for this thing, because, you know, they already opened that up, so I wonder.
So here's a fun thing that's going on.
Sure.
So you know how there's...
Orange Lounge Radio on Skype.
Coachella. Well, there's Coachella. It's a music festival in Minecraft. You can actually participate right now. If you go to Minecraft.xxx, they have a link to the actual... they have two stages, the red blocks and the bedrocks. And they have artists playing, including like Anamonoguchi and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
right. They've got the whole lineup to... there's like a musical lineup and everything of all the DJs playing and stuff. So check it out if you got some time.
You know, there's a Minecraft convention going on this weekend. I don't know if that's just here locally.
It's just here locally. Minecon Earth is next week. Yeah, the local one here, I
see a lot of tweets about
it. It's so expensive, and it's just like, what is it really there? They have like some streamers that are there. They do like a Lego thing. They do like some other Minecraft stuff. But it's so goddamn it. It's like $40 a ticket.
Nothing. Oh, yeah, that's a little pricey.
Minecon World is next week, and it's online. It's streaming, so.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I don't think any other calls are coming in, so I think we're going to call it with that. But if you thought too late or something, you can always send us an email. Participate@orangelaundrytrader.com is the place to send us an email, and we will consider reading some of those on a future show. You can always tweet us as well, twitter.com/OLR. You can post on our Facebook page, too. We read it all, I promise you, and we respond. You know, if it's something that necessitates us a response, we try to respond to it all. But, you know, we don't always get to everything on air, but we try to do as much as we can. So anyway, that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to air live, then we can't air them.
I will hear your grievances.
We had a lot of grievances last week or the week before on the show. I just seem to remember YYR sent us an email outlining all these things we got wrong. But not while you've been here, Dark Sakura. You're perfect. You're beautiful. You're just like Lynn Evangelista.
No,
anyway,
thank you.
Speaking of Dark Sakura, hey, it's great that you're back tonight. We'll miss you for the next month. But thanks to Radio Magic, we'll still hear you next week.
Yeah.
So, do you have it actually? And I got to sit down with you on when we're going to take care of that, because my weekend next weekend is like crazy. But like everybody's freaking birthdays next weekend. So
Thursday after work.
I can't. So I'll talk to you off air.
Okay.
So we'll have to plan it really early or like at a weird time. So
okay.
All right. Anyway, or we may not have Radio Magic next week. We'll see. Anyway, it was great having you here tonight. Any final thoughts to carry us over for the next month?
I'm just happy I had filet mignon for dinner tonight, because it was fucking amazing. And thank you again, Ikuma JP, for also helping with obtaining Dan's birthday present. So. Which I will not announce on air yet.
I will also use my final thought to pay tribute to Ikuma JP. This is very thoughtful what you did in sending us the gifts. I'm always tickled when OLR people send us gifts, and it's not something you have to do, and it's very nice. But these are things that these little foods, these yummy, these little wafer things. What were these called? These are really good.
Bourbon wafers. Those are good. Those are pretty good.
Yeah. All right, Loki, your final thought tonight.
My final thought is. I don't know. Hopefully I'll play more games this week.
Yes, play more games. That's a good idea. Everybody out there, play more games. And we'll see you in 7 days to do it all over again. Have a great week, everybody, and good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.